People are stranded at Reagan National Airport.
Just frustrated. Ready to go.
Probably won't get a flight back out until Thursday.
Schools and many businesses are closed in several states as this powerful storm with strong winds and blizzard conditions brings about a foot of snow. The early show's Dave Price is in Philadelphia.
To walk the narrow streets of South Philadelphia right now, you just don't know where they're going to put the additional snow that's going to fall today. It's remarkable. You have 2 inches to it that fell last weekend, 8 inches that came overnight, and now more expected today, and there's just no room.
I'm Peter Mayer in Fairfax, Virginia. Say it ain't snow, up to a foot more in parts of the area. On top of the 30 inches from the big weekend storm, snow blowers like this one out in force again today. Add to that the danger of downed trees and power lines from up to 50-mile-an-hour winds. The federal government's closed for a third straight day, and many schools are out for the rest of the week.
There was plenty of time to prepare for this second big storm, and the evidence can be found at a Baltimore hardware store.
We pretty much sold through every snowblower we have. We've gone through at least 1,000 shovels.
And in its supermarkets.
There's no eggs, there's no cheese, there's no meat. It's crazy.
Craziness in northern Illinois. After major snow yesterday, there was an earthquake this morning, waking up Mike Donahue at home in Elgin.
My house was shaking for 3 or 4 seconds. It was a steady shake, I guess, like sort of like being on top of Jell-O.
It was a magnitude 4.3, also felt in parts of Wisconsin. No major damage reported. Now to Southern California, where heavy rain brought down the mud in some places.
I heard it coming at first, and I came outside when it started raining real fast. I watched the roaring river, mud river, come right down that driveway.
More than 500 homes in the canyons outside L.A. are still evacuated. It's possible some or all of those residents could go back home later today if the weather cooperates. There's been another auto recall, not Toyota, Honda. Jeff Gilbert of WWJ Radio Detroit.
This is an expansion of a recall Honda announced last year, adding 378,000 01 and 02 model year Hondas and Acuras. Now the concern is with the inflators in the vehicle's airbags, which can deploy with too much power, causing injuries or even deaths. Honda says there have been about a dozen incidents.
Toyota has started repairing Prius brake systems and says it will have to fix steering problems on 2010 Camrys. Officials now say avalanches in Afghanistan have killed at least 157 people. Meantime, U.S. and Afghan forces pushed closer to a southern town looking to oust the Taliban. And Pakistan says the Taliban chief in that country is dead, but details are not clear. The U.S. Army needs a few good men and women for a life-saving mission, CBS's Vicki Barker explains.
They survived the fighting only to be done in by their demons. It's not clear how many of the record 160 suicides of serving soldiers could have been prevented with the right counseling. But with substance abuse linked to most of those deaths, the U.S. Army says it needs more counselors fast. USA Today says staff numbers are running 20% below authorized levels, while demand is at a record high. The Pentagon's appeal to any qualified counselors out there, the U.S. Army needs you. Vicki Barker, CBS News.
Some new changes proposed to a diagnostic Bible for physicians and psychiatrists.
It's the first update since 19... 19-
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
Driving in winter requires preparation because you never know when you may find yourself stranded. Before the first snows begin to fall, check your vehicle's tires, brakes, fluids, wiper blades, lights, belts, and hoses to make sure they're in good shape. A breakdown is bad on a good day, dangerous in a snowstorm. Before venturing out onto snowy roadways, make sure you've cleared the snow from all the vehicle's windows and lights, including brake lights and turn signals. Make sure you can see and be seen. And prepare an emergency kit, including things like a blanket, sand or cat litter for extra traction, additional warm caps and gloves, some food and water, and a cell phone. Before you go, check out road and weather conditions to help plan your route and departure time, giving yourself plenty of extra time to get where you're going. Above all, know your limits. If the weather's bad, stay home.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly, and plow far and wide, very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow. They're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snow plows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
I know that sludge for brains like Bill Press,
you are a Nazi and a Stalinist.
We have never been just a collection of individuals or a collection of red states and blue states. We are and always will be the United States of America.
This is the Bill Press Show.
When you're responsible for reading the news to a city of millions, you need a gentle touch.
As for your greasy mouth self, that might help if you stopped eating all them fries you eat, making you look 6 months pregnant.
One of the top most listened to radio shows.
That voice of yours could be an attraction at a circus.
Are you joking? Is this a joke?
Snow, snow, snow. That's the order of the day. Snowing like mad here in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, where they're saying another 9 inches on top of what we had last week. And let it snow, let it snow, let it stop one of these days. Hey, good morning, everybody. Snow be damned. As far as we're concerned, the Bill Press Show carries on. We're coming to you live, coast to coast, out of our little radio factory here on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., where the city is all shut down except for us, the Bill Press Show. We are here for you because we wouldn't want to miss a day talking about the hot issues of the day. 866-55-PRESS is our toll-free number. That's your ticket to call into the show, 866-55-7737. And a little bit later, in this hour, we want to get your calls on. Just tell us about the most romantic thing anybody has ever done for you and the most romantic story. We'll pick up a $50 gift certificate for Pro Flowers that you can turn around and use for some flowers for your loved one this Sunday for Valentine's Day. Again, 866-55-PRESS is the toll-free number. On the website today, BillPressShow.com. Some pictures yesterday of President Obama at the White House in the briefing room where he took over the podium. Pretty exciting. I was there for that. Snapped some photos and put them up on the website for you this morning. Check them out. And say hello to Peter Ogburn and Dan Henning, Team Press, who are here despite the snow.
Yes, sir.
Bill. Get
inappropriate snow gear.
Think, yeah, get double time this morning, right, for coming
sure.
in for the snow.
Oh, yeah.
Sure,
I just assumed that was it.
Hazard pay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was nice of you to park your skis right there outside the studio.
Yeah.
So, right, lean them against the wall. And.
Well, I don't know if you saw my my dogs that I left down front.
Oh, the sled dog?
Yeah, Nachuk.
I saw that. I thought it was Todd Palin's crew.
No. Those are my dogs I used to get in. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your dog's name?
Madame Marie Nicole.
You've never seen Nachuk? My Eskimo dogs that get me through the streets of Washington when it snows as hard?
I'd be willing to bet you today you're going to see, you won't see dog sleds necessarily. Maybe. But you'll see people on skis today, just like we did over the weekend.
Yeah. hey, if I had skis, and, you know, I'd do it.
And as I mentioned a little bit earlier, sign of the times, Carol and I have a little midwinter vacation here planned, and we had a flight out, had is the operative word, Friday morning at 8 minutes after one this morning. The telephone rings. I heard it, picked it up. American Airlines. We just want to inform you that your flight for Friday, this is 1 o'clock Wednesday morning, your flight for Friday has been canceled.
Was that automated or was it a real person?
No, it was automated. Yeah.
You would think they could at least program it to call you in the morning, not at 1 a.m.
Oh, I thought you meant they have a real person call. There are no real people that work for airlines anymore.
No, I mean, like, at least the computer.
There are lots of real people that still work for the phone call. Hello, Mr. Press, just calling to inform you that your flight has been canceled.
Yeah, they're all in Bombay.
Yeah.
Okay, 10 minutes. Yeah, I mentioned before we move along, President Obama yesterday. So here's a scene in the White House. You got to see it. So the briefings never start on time with Robert Gibbs. And so we always mill around and sit around, and we're all talking, and that's the way it is every day. And the time for the briefing comes, and then that passes. And maybe 15 minutes after the briefing's supposed to start, they give the two-minute warning, which everybody ignores because it's still going to be another at least 10 minutes before he comes. We all know that. That's the way it is every day. Well, yesterday, the briefing's called for 1:30. We're all milling around, chatting about stuff and yucking it up. And at 1:28 p.m., they said, two-minute warning. Nobody paid any attention to it. And then suddenly, it's exactly 1:30 on the dot. And here's what it sounded like.
Hello. Whoa.
It's a big dog.
You know, we're trying to bring some change that you can believe in. Hello, everybody. I am glad to see that all of you braved the weather to be here. A little while ago, I had a meeting with the Democratic and Republican congressional leaders, and it went very well. In fact, I understand that McConnell and Reid are out doing snow angels in the South Lawn together.
I love that picture of Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell doing snow angels on the South Lawn.
That happens. Then we know we've fully reached our bipartisan potential.
Then there's real bipartisanship, yeah. It was a total, just blew everybody away. Nobody expected it. And I kept wondering, and I kept waiting, I kept checking my cell phone, because I was pretty sure that with the snow due, hadn't started snowing yet by that time, that the briefing would be canceled. And now we know why it wasn't. They had that all planned. They just didn't tell anybody. We're going to talk to Josh Earnest, Deputy White House Press Secretary, get his take a little bit on yesterday's briefing and on the upcoming healthcare summit on February 25. We'll kick off the hour with Ken Vogel from Politico about the Tea Party convention. But first,
this is the Full Court Press.
Other headlines making news. There's a new contender vying for Simon Cowell's spot on American Idol going against Howard Stern's candidacy. It's Madonna's manager, Guy Ossieri, who many people have not have heard of before, but sources say he's...
Who dat?
Exactly. Sources say he's got a lot of the same experiences as Simon and is a very, very viable candidate.
I think they need a name for that. But
the San Francisco Giants will start doing what scalpers do, price tickets according to the popularity of the visiting team. They'll calculate ticket costs for every game on every seat in the house, so to see a good team or a hot pitching duel, instead of $17 for a bleacher seat, they could jump up to $33. As the Giants are the first team to do this, it's an expansion of a pilot program they tried last year.
I'm not sure about that.
I don't like that, man.
I don't either. I mean, I think, you know, that if they start that down here at the Nationals, I think I'll lead a protest.
Valentine's Day is...
Nobody would pay to see the Nationals.
Exactly. You can't even get anybody's money.
Valentine's Day is Sunday. Need a last-minute gift idea? Women's Day magazine asked its readers what they want most on Sunday. The answer for more than half was a
money.
Simple... No, actually, a simple love letter. 20% said...
Forget it.
What's wrong with a love letter?
Like money.
That's a great idea. It's romantic.
What? Anybody who tells you that, they're lying.
20% said diamond earrings, 13% red roses, yeah. And just 11% won a box of chocolates.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pro flowers. Don't forget, pro flowers. Yeah. The most romantic thing anybody's done for you, tell us a little bit later in the program. And now, big time down in Nashville. People are still talking about it. So how important was it, and where does the Tea Party go from here, and is Sarah Palin going to be its leader? All kinds of questions. For our friend Ken Vogel from Politico, was covering the Tea Party convention, been doing a lot of articles about it. Hey, Ken, good morning.
Listen, Bill.
You were down there, so actually, I keep hearing different reports. How many people actually paid the full, do you know, the full $549?
About 600 people paid that much money. An additional 500 or thereabouts paid $350, $349 actually. You got to round it down. It makes it seem like it's so much cheaper to see Sarah Palin speak. So that's, you know, total of 1,100 people saw Sarah Palin speak on Saturday night. Not exactly a huge crowd, not exactly sort of representative of either the numbers or the demographics, perhaps, of the people who turned out for these massive protests around the country and in Washington over the summer and in September.
Yeah, right.
And then that raised some questions about what, in fact, the purpose and what, in fact, this convention was really about.
I'm going to ask an indelicate question, I guess, but, you know, what the hell. I didn't see many black faces there. What was the racial representation?
It was white and it was old. In fact, I tried.
Were there any African Americans there?
There were a few African American speakers, and this actually is somewhat indicative of the sort of Tea Party crowd. The Tea Party crowds are overwhelmingly white. However, there tends to be more of a mix in age ranges and also in sort of socioeconomic background. Of course, it's not always possible to discern that just by looking at what folks are wearing or driving. Nonetheless, we try to generalize here. So as far as this convention, a lot of older folks, a lot of retirees, a lot of folks with means, because let's face it, $550 is not cheap, and additionally, this hotel that the conference was located at was not cheap. Anyone who would have to get in from outside the state is likely going to have to fly. So that prompted some grumbling among folks who are, in fact, grassroots Tea Party leaders around the country who lead these sort of small ragtag groups of 10 to 100 people in Greeley, Colorado, or Hot Springs, Arkansas, and they said this is not at all indicative of the movement. And, in fact, someone a step further and said this is an effort to hijack the movement by Republican-aligned, consultants and operatives and activists.
So it's just amusing to me that there'd be so many people there, older voters, as you pointed out, a lot of whom are probably on Social Security and Medicare, who are there protesting government, right, and living with all 4 feet in the trough. But.
Yeah, more than that, I mean, the Tea Party movement, if there is one sort of underlying uniting factor, it would be sort of this idea of fiscal conservatism, and that the government has kind of spent money in a reckless manner. Starting, I should add, most folks are sort of quick to point out, in the Bush administration with the bailouts and such. Obviously, they are conservatives for the most part, and their most immediate target of distaste is the Obama administration and congressional Democrats. But what you saw at this conference and convention that was different than what you see at Tea Party events typically is a much greater focus on some of the other conservative or Republican issues, like religious conservatism, social conservatism, kind of an undercurrent of opposition to gay rights. You also saw sort of a strain of neoconservative, sort of foreign policy conservative, national security conservatism that you don't really see in the broader movement. They don't see with the sort of Ron Paul libertarian type. Mm-hmm. So that's why this convention in particular really fed the idea that the conservative, that the Republican establishment, the conservative establishment, was working to co-opt the Tea Party movement.
How many do you know? How many different Tea Party organizations? I mean, there's not just, as I understand it, there's not just one big Tea Party. There are all these organizations that together make up the Tea Party movement, correct? And if so, how many?
There are probably thousands out there.
Really?
I reach out to these folks. And, the degree to which they're actually engaged and activated differs. So this is probably at its peak. And, frankly, it is evolving, and it's evolving in a way that could make it easier for the Republican Party, which was the subject, again, of a lot of the angst among these activists. Initially, they were really anti-establishment, but as some of the grassroots fervor, I think, dies down, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that there is still a lot of energy out there and a lot of activated people, but these folks are sort of more, I don't want to say susceptible, but almost more likely to kind of come on board with the Republican Party or throw in with the Republican Party. Well, and this convention, again, I think really marks the start of an active effort by Republicans to co-opt the Tea Party movement.
Well, it seems that way, and it also seemed that the leadership, whether the Republican Party co-opts the Tea Party movement or the Tea Party movement is trying to co-opt the Republican Party, I guess, is a question. But when you look at the speakers, right, as starting with Tom Tancredo, former Republican congressman, Roy Moore, Republican candidate for governor, Angela McGlowan, who announced that she's going to be a Republican candidate for Congress, Sarah Palin, Republican vice presidential nominee, right? I mean, clearly it is somehow identified with their big links to the Republican Party.
Yeah, that's right, and it goes deeper than that. I mean, the guy who organized it was a Republican official down there, in a small time one, not a you know, not even a state lawmaker, but was a local or county Republican official. Some of the most successful groups out there that have tried to harness the energy of the Tea Party movement, both to build their, you know, build their email list and to raise money, but also to, you know, give them a boost in sort of legitimacy or a boost in the hierarchy of the sort of standings of the conservative establishment, have strong ties to the Republican Party, going from this group out in California that has organized all these bus tours, the Tea Party Express. That was just a pack run by Howard Kalugin, who I'm sure you're familiar with, who ran the Gray Davis recall campaign. Two folks here in D.C., like Freedom Works, this is a group that
with
is
Dick
started,
Armey.
Right, exactly. It's run by Dick Armey, to Americans for Prosperity. This is a group that is sort of linked to, funded by the Koch family, big Republican donors here in D.C. The group is based here in D.C., not the Koch family. So there are sort of strong ties, and it makes sense, and it makes sense that the Republican Party would be working actively to co-opt it. The question is whether these activists will come on board or whether they are so sort of anti-establishment and so sour on the Republican Party as well as the Democratic Party.
Just about 30 seconds to go. Let me ask you this. That's unfair to give you so little time on a big question. But so is the Tea Party movement going anywhere, and is Sarah Palin, should she be considered the head of it?
I think she certainly wants to be considered the head of it, even as she really was adamant in her insistence on Saturday night that the Tea Party movement doesn't have a leader. Like, give me a break. Why are you coming to speak to this event? Why are you planning to speak to several additional Tea Party events in the future? Why are you writing op-eds for USA Today praising the Tea Party movement? Let's face it, it will help her to be seen as the head of the Tea Party movement. Where the Tea Party movement goes, I think, is an open question. But Sarah Palin would certainly like to see a throw-in with her, whether that means just buying her books or supporting her for the GOP nomination for president in 2012. That's what we're going to have to see.
Ken, you've been doing great work on this, and it's so good of you to take some time for us this morning. You keep it up. We'll keep following you and keep talking about it. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Bill.
Ken Vogel from Politico. You can catch all of his work. Just go to Politico and type in Ken Vogel, sort of become the expert on the Tea Party.
Actively interactive
at thepressshow.com.
The Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
God. Hey, friends, Valentine's Day is almost here, and I'm all set. Yep, every special person in my life is going to be getting Pro Flowers this weekend, which is why I'm proud to offer you this exclusive radio offer for my listeners only. Get this, 1 dozen red roses or 2 dozen assorted roses for just $29.99, and both offers include a free glass vase and free truffles. That's over $30 in savings. If you've never tried Pro Flowers, what are you waiting for? Pro Flowers bouquets are guaranteed to stay fresh for 7 days. You can't lose. Trust me. But with Valentine's Day right around the corner, you don't have another minute to spare. You got to act now. So here's what I want you to do to get your exclusive radio deal on these roses. Call 1-800-PRO-FLOWERS and mention press, or even better and easier, go to proflowers.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Enter my password, press. That's proflowers.com. Click on the microphone, type in my password, press. But your time is almost up. You'd better order now.
GEICO's been around over 70 years, helping people save hundreds. But yesterday, I'm going through paperwork and I'm realising just how many ways GEICO can save people money. Good driver discounts, defensive driver discounts, multi-car discounts, discounts for cars with airbags. And I don't mean having your mother-in-law in the passenger seat. Sorry, it's just a little car insurance humour. I think that joke's over 70 years old, too.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Stop harmful spam and virus intrusions.
Barracuda Networks can help.
The Barracuda Spam and Virus Firewall is an integrated hardware and software solution that processes and filters out bad email before it enters your network. With no per-user fees and automatic updates, the Barracuda Spam and Virus Firewall is the most cost-effective solution for protecting your network from email-borne threats. Powerful yet affordable security, networking, and storage solutions trusted by more than 80,000 businesses worldwide. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit. 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or visit Barracuda.com.
Want to add value to your home, lower your energy bills, and preserve the environment?
Best Way Insulation is a Colorado-owned company that uses blown-in insulation to reduce your energy usage. Best Way Insulation was trusted with re-insulating the governor's mansion and will provide the same quick service to AM 760 listeners. Ask the experts at Best Way Insulation about federal tax credits and energy company rebates available to customers in Colorado. Go to bestwayinsulation.com to go green and save green. That's bestwayinsulation.com.
Hey, it's Dave Sirota. You've got to visit the Yak and Yeti restaurant and brew pub. It's absolutely the best place in town to get incredible Indian, Nepal, and Tibetan cuisine. Family-owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30, 7 days a week, and they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. Visit one of their two great locations in Arvada on Ralston Road and Old Wadsworth, and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill at yakandyeti.com.
This is Mario for Mike Turner and Scott Henderson, proud supporters of AM 760. Mike and Scott are personal injury lawyers who've supported this station since the beginning. They represent people, not corporations pretending to be people. The law firm of Mike Turner and Scott Henderson. Call 303-300-1600 for a free consult. They support AM 760 listeners. Progressive attorneys for progressive people. Mike Turner and Scott Four Henderson.
For a chance to win the solar backpack or a free home energy audit. So visit Independent Power Systems at the Colorado Home and Garden Show, booth 1275, to learn more. Be sure to drop by Independent Power Systems North Boulder Shop for Solar Community Night, the second Thursday of every month. Call 303-443-0115, 303-443-0115, or visit solarips.com/KKZN to learn more. Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field Solar Experts.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk.
AM760.net.
I don't know how you feel right now, but I'll tell you one thing that when people said, you know, what do you know about music? I'll tell you what I do know. I do know what it's like to stand on stage and try to please an entire room full of people.
This is the Bill Press Show.
And that, of course, is Ellen DeGeneres. I'm a huge Ellen fan, and she made her debut last night on American Idol, saying some people have criticized her, saying she shouldn't be there because she's no background in music, which is true, but as she points out, she is an entertainer, so she knows a good one when she sees one. I watched a little bit of it last night. I thought she looked a little lost there. Didn't look real comfortable.
This is not, you know, I have nothing against Ellen. I'm not a huge fan or anything.
Okay.
But, I mean, this is just such a weird place for her to be.
Yeah.
She knows nothing about music.
But, I mean, she's best, I think, when she's her own show and she's her own person.
Exactly.
And she's one of four people, you know. I thought she looked a little, maybe she's a little afraid of Simon. I'd be afraid of Simon, too.
Okay.
Hey, President Obama, holding an impromptu news conference yesterday. I was there and calling a summit at the White Blair House on February 25. What's it all about? We'll go down to the White House, snowed in, and talk to Deputy Press Secretary Josh Earnest next on the Bill Press Show.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Are you burdened with $10,000 or more in credit card debt? Struggling to get your life in order? Let us help by settling your debt. Imagine living a stress-free lifestyle that you deserve. If you are currently working and can afford making monthly payments, call our professionals today for a no-obligation analysis. Call 1-800-240-DEBT. 1-800-240-3328. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you owe it to yourself and your family. Call Debt-Free Stimulus today at 1-800-240-3328. The government is bailing out the banks. Now it's your turn. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt and are currently working but struggling to pay your bills, you may qualify for one of our partners' debt settlement programs. Call Debt-Free Stimulus today at 1-800-240-DEBT. 1-800-240-3328. Get your life back on track. You deserve it.
Hey.
It's tax time. Are you ready for your refund? Start your online tax return process today. No math, no hassle, and no confusing tax forms to choose. eFile.com does it all for you. Go to eFile.com to get your maximum refund faster. And best of all, see if you qualify for a free federal tax return this year. Prepare your taxes online, click eFile, and you're done. Taxes made simple at eFile.com.
Less taxing, more yours at eFile.com.
I hate when I see people discriminated against, even if I don't agree with them. Demeaning people is just wrong. You'd think public universities that are supposed to be a marketplace of ideas would be the one place where that wouldn't happen. But it does, every day.
Christian students are bearing the brunt of this injustice. If you're a Christian and have experienced discrimination, intimidation, or exclusion on campus because of your beliefs, contact speakupmovement.org or text SPEAKUP to 411-247.
Turn right in 1/2 mile.
I'm not great with directions.
Turn right now.
But now my GPS gets me wherever I need to go. TurboTax lets me do my taxes the same way. It guides me step by step through my return, searching for every deduction I deserve and helping me arrive at my maximum refund, guaranteed. No wonder it's the most trusted tax software in America.
See for yourself at TurboTax.com. Choose easy. Money back guarantee details at TurboTax.com. Trusted brand claim based on survey July 2009.
This is former State Representative Gwen Green, the fighting granny. I'm fighting mad that the Supreme Court opened the floodgates to corporate money. I'm joining Be the Change USA Saturday, February 13 at a special event with David Sirota, Mike Miles, Andrew Romanoff, and state legislators. Go to btc-usa.org for details. That's btc-usa.org.
Winter driving can be a real challenge. If there's ice and snow, take it slow. Even if you have an SUV with four-wheel drive, it doesn't mean you'll be able to stop any faster or maintain control any better once you lose traction. Four-wheel drive may get you going faster, but it won't help you stop any sooner. No matter what type of vehicle you're driving, accelerate gradually and avoid abrupt steering maneuvers that could cause you to slide. Allow extra distance between you and the vehicle ahead. It takes more time and distance to stop in adverse conditions, so when you need to slow down or stop, if you have anti-lock brakes, depress the pedal and let the brakes do the work. Don't pump them yourself. If roads are slippery, turn off the cruise. Keep your own feel for the road. And before you leave, check road conditions. Safe drivers know the weather and they know their limits. If the weather's bad, stay where you are until conditions improve.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
This is the Bill Press Show.
It is the Bill Press Show coming to you live coast to coast from our radio studio here on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. and brought to you today by AFSCME, the largest public employee and healthcare workers union in the whole country. Great men and women of the AFSCME union under President Jerry McAtee. Making America happen. For more information, go to the website www.afscme.org. Big day. At the White House yesterday, the president holding the first of the bipartisan meetings that he promised, the leadership meeting at the White House, and holding an impromptu news conference in the briefing room, and scheduling a bipartisan summit on health care at Blair House on February 25, involved helping the president with all of that. Our good friend, Deputy White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest, joining us this morning. Hey, Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you in the snowy morning?
I'm good. Did you make it into the White House?
I have to confess, the last 2 days I've been walking into work, but today, looking outside and seeing the way the snow is blowing, I did not walk into work.
You are dutifully excused. Don't worry about it. I don't think anybody else ought to be out either. I think, in fact, the Bill Press Show is the only business that's operating in Washington, D.C. this morning.
You must be.
Yeah. Now, I got to tell you, Josh, I forget his name, that new guy that you had do the briefing yesterday?
that tall, skinny guy.
That tall, skinny guy. He was pretty good.
Yeah.
So how did that come about? The president. I was there in the briefing room. None of us knew it was coming. None of us expected it. And he not only showed up, he showed up on time and started on time.
I think that was the way that some people felt like they found out, was not that they saw him walk in the room, but that they actually saw the door open on time.
No, exactly.
But, you know, look, the president actually had a good time yesterday. I mean, he enjoys the opportunity to have a little give and take with people who are closely following these issues and closely covering the White House. And he got the opportunity to talk about his meeting with the Republicans. So it sort of was a natural confluence of events. You know, when the president goes and has these meetings with high-level, you know, congressional officials and other people that are, you know, involved in making tough decisions, a lot of reporters will want what we call a readout of the meeting. They'll want to get a sense of who said what were the decisions
right.
that were made, where did they agree, where did they disagree. And so in this case, you know, we knew there'd be a lot of people who would be asking for a readout of this sort of first bipartisan bicameral meeting since the State of the Union. So it just sort of made sense. Well, why not have the president just come out, tell everybody what they talked about, and make the case for why the things he said were the best ideas for moving forward.
Well, it was great for us, too, the reporters down there. And as you say, at the stakeout, what they call, where the cameras are set up and people who meet with the president come outside, and they have the option of talking to reporters if they want to. And, of course, John Boehner and Mitch McConnell came out and gave their spin on it, right? So it would have been very one-sided if the president hadn't done that. I thought it was a good move. Was there anything at this meeting, so that you had Speaker Pelosi, Majority Leader Hoyer, Minority Leader Boehner, and then you had McConnell and Reid from the Senate side. Was anything actually accomplished at this meeting, Josh?
Well, the sense that I got was that they were able to make a little progress on this jobs bill. Still unclear if the Republicans in the Senate are going to get on board this thing. It is clear that there are a lot of Republican ideas are represented in this jobs bill. Tax cuts for small businesses to provide an incentive for hiring, for example.
Which Republicans have talked about for a long time is a good idea.
Which is,
and the president
been advocating for a long time. Exactly right. Exactly right. So they spent some time talking about that. And you know, the other thing that they spent some time talking about is the pace of nominations in the Senate. That there are I think there have now been 13 Obama appointees to high-level federal positions that have been blocked by a Republican filibuster, where there's been a vote that has been mustered where they need mm-hmm. 60 votes to bring them to the floor. So that is that far exceeds any sort of recent accounting of presidents in their first year in office when they're just trying to staff up the government.
They
talked about some of that Republican obstruction as well.
Right. On that point, I wanted to play this clip for our listeners, because the president was talking about bipartisanship, what it means and what it doesn't mean, and this issue that you raised is one where he said this is not the kind of bipartisanship we're talking about. Here's the president at our little news briefing yesterday.
For months, qualified, non-controversial nominees for critical positions in government, often positions related to our national security, have been held up despite having overwhelming support.
So if that continues, the president hinted at this yesterday, but is the feeling of the White House that the president will make some recess appointments just to stop this game playing?
Well, the president alluded to this very briefly at the end of his remarks yesterday.
Yeah.
He basically said that, look, if we can't get some, you know, I'm trying to play by the rules here. I'm trying to, you know, respect the Senate's proper role of advising and consenting on the president's senior appointees to the government. But if we're going to have a situation in which there are people who are blocked and blocked and blocked, and then once they're finally let through, it's clear that they have, you know, in some cases, unanimous bipartisan support, it's clear that the objection that's being expressed has nothing to do with the qualification of the nominees, but actually has to do with Republicans trying to score political points. So if we're going to find ourselves in that circumstance, the president's going to make the decisions that he needs to make to ensure that we've got the team on the field that's making the tough decisions. I mean, there are so many issues that the federal government is dealing with right now, including a couple of national security positions, as the president alluded to.
Yeah, I mean, the head of the TSA, for example, you know.
So, and there are intelligence officials at the Department of Homeland Security and the State Department that play critical roles in this stuff. So the president's eager to get the ball rolling here.
And so he will make recess appointments, is what you're saying.
Well, you know, if they can't come to some sort of an agreement, that's something that the president is prepared to do.
On the February 25 summit at Blair House, the president again yesterday said he called himself an eternal optimist. He certainly has reached out to Republicans many times, I feel too many times.
Mm-hmm.
This is one more opportunity, and yet already Eric Cantor has called this a dog and pony show, right? John Boehner and Mitch McConnell have said the only way we can do this if we throw out the House bill and the Senate bill and start from scratch. I think mm-hmm. Mitch McConnell said they've got to drop. They have to promise they will never do reconciliation before, you know, we'll really come to the table. Is it foolish to expect that there will be any bipartisan cooperation coming together at this meeting, or do you think it's the real possibility?
Well, I actually have, of all the things we sort of talked about that happened at the yesterday, I thought the most awkward moment of the day yesterday at the White House was when, as you point out, Leader Boehner and Leader McConnell went to the stakeout location in front of the White House and held an impromptu scrum with reporters, and they were faced with the challenge of at the same time explaining how they supported a continuing bipartisan dialogue with the president, but how they were not yet committed to attending the bipartisan meeting on health care that the president had invited them to.
Yeah, they haven't even, that's right, they haven't even said that they would show up yet.
Right. They won't even say that they'll know. So I think that your skepticism about the Republicans' commitment to bipartisanship is well-founded, and I think it's one that the president is frustrated by and disappointed by, but he's not going to let up, because what the president understands and what the president believes is that we have to get health care done. That's why the president, and the other thing that the president has said is that he's not going to let ideas be sidetracked by the party of the person who suggests them. There are a number of Republican ideas are included in the health care bill. But at the same time, the president also understands we have to get this done. We have to make progress in health care reform. The stakes are too high. It's having a significant impact on our economy. It's having a significant impact on businesses who are looking to expand their workforce but are reluctant to do so because of the high cost of providing health care for those workers. It's having a significant impact on our budget deficit situation. It's an indication that, you know, that it's a leading driver of the budget problems our country is having now. So we can't put it off. We have to find a way to work with Republicans to get at least some of them on board so that we can get this done. I mean, the Republicans obviously now have the ability to block this with the filibuster. So the president is going to be dogged in his determination to find some Republican agreement on these things and to move forward.
Well, and certainly the whole world will be able to see, right, who's serious and who's not. That's one big advantage of this this meeting on February 25. So, you know, I have to tell you, Josh, I have not received any lineup today as to what the schedule is at the White House. Are there any events? The city is shut down. Are there any events on the president's schedule today at the White House?
There is. You know, he's going to get his regular briefings today, probably either by telephone or by memo. And there was one meeting with a couple of civil rights leaders who were in town that the president was planning to do today.
Mm-hmm.
And as of last night, that meeting had not yet been canceled. It's scheduled for around noon today. So if the president does have a meeting today, that'll be the one that he does. But other than that, I think even the White House is awfully quiet today.
Well, it's a good chance for the president and the first lady maybe to go out and build a snowman with the girls on the South Lawn.
I bet you there'll be some of that happening today.
All right. Stay safe, Josh. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
No problem, Bill. I'll always talk to you. Take care.
Josh Earnest, who is the Deputy White House, one of the Deputy White House press secretaries. Now, don't forget, exciting moment here, the most romantic thing that has ever happened to you, Peter Ogburn and Dan Henning, or the judges. They'll take your calls, 866-55-PRESS, 866-55-7737. Something you touched you so much. And you still remember it, you still love it, you will never forget it, and you want to tell us about it. $50 gift certificate to Pro Flowers could be yours.
The Bill Press Show continues. You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
Okay. Kenny, technician for Safelite Auto Glass.
My customer had a small chip on her windshield, but ignored it. Then the other day, she started her cold car, cranked up the heat, and crack, it spread. If only she'd called sooner. When a chip's small, we can usually repair it in just a half hour with our state-of-the-art resin. A Safelite repair is so reliable, we guarantee it for life. And with most insurance plans, there's no cost to you.
Let Safelite handle the insurance claim for you. Just call 1-800-800-2727.
Safelite repair, Safelite replace.
My friend Dave told me Walgreens has personal gift advisors to help me shop for Valentine's Day.
We do. I'm a personal gift advisor, so I can help.
Great. Can you set me up with the same Hershey's Kisses, Roses perfume, and card Dave got for his wife?
I can. And how about scented candles to top it off?
Did Dave get candles?
Let's not worry about Dave. Let's focus on your wife.
Right.
Walgreens has great gifts and personal gift advisors that make Valentine's shopping easy. Walgreens. There's a way to make your sweetheart happy.
There is never a good time for your sewer line to plug up. Declare war on that blockage. Drain Solvers provides top quality drain cleaning and router services and will break through any blockage. Let Drain Solvers camera your sewer pipe for only $79 and clean your drain for $99. Mention this special when you call. Drain Solvers, the trenchless pipe repair specialists. Drain Solvers does whatever it takes to solve your plumbing problem. Call 303-423-1000. That's 303-423-1000. Or drainsolvers.com. Access fees may apply.
Guys, Valentine's Day is coming fast. Pro Flowers is offering bouquets and roses starting with $19. That's $19.99 for one dozen roses with a 7-day freshness guarantee. Plus, get a free glass vase when you order today. Where else can you find Valentine's roses for just $19.99? To guarantee delivery by Valentine's Day, click on the... ProFlowers ad show now. Or visit ProFlowers.com. Click on the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner and enter password hot 19. That's ProFlowers.com. Radio microphone, password hot 19. Or
VTC-USA.org.
Stop the breakage. Restore dry, brittle, damaged hair with Ovation Cell Therapy.
I can't remember the last time I could brush my hair without having to clean the brush at least twice during the process. Ovation is not high enough praise. Standing Ovation. 21-gun salute. Blue Angels fly over. That's more like it.
For healthier hair, log on to OvationHair.com and enter AM76. 60 at checkout for a special discount. That's ovationhair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for real results guaranteed. Ovation works.
Ovation cell therapy is so good, it's guaranteed.
I'm very pleased with Ovation. Your money back guarantee got me to try it. My hair is much shinier, softer, and fuller looking. My stylist can really see the difference. My hair is so healthy. I can continue with perms and color. Ovation, for my money, you're the real deal.
For thicker, stronger, longer hair, log on to ovationhair.com and enter AM760 at checkout for a special discount. That's ovationhair.com and enter AM760 at checkout.
For real results guaranteed, Ovation works.
Listen to AM760 on your cell phone. Just download the app at AM760.net.
This is the Bill Press Show.
All right, I just want to say something here. Peter, I think we could have some more romantic music than this. I think it's just the corniest romantic music you could possibly find in your iTunes.
What's wrong with Burt Bacharach?
To me, this is like some cheap hotel buffet music.
That's the only romance I know, Bill.
All right, here we go. So, this is a little fun we're having with Pro Flowers with Valentine's Day coming up. Your chance to win a $50 gift certificate from Pro Flowers. Today we're asking you the most romantic thing anyone has done for you. Let's start out with Elner up in Buffalo. Elner, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good, thank you. So, what's your story here?
Well, I was working last year, Valentine's Day, I was working late, and I got home dirty, greasy, not feeling so well because I was, you know, working hard, and got home, walked in the house, there's flowers, there's candlelights, and I'm like, okay, what did I forget?
Uh-huh.
I washed up, and we sat down, and she started talking to me. I'm looking on the wall, it looks like a big picture, you know? Not knowing she bought me a TV for Valentine's Day, and I totally forgot about it.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. And she still loves you. You forgot about it, and she went...
Well, yeah. She's kind of used to it because I work a lot, and she understands. So So.
Well, you have a loving and understanding and very forgiving wife, Elder. I appreciate the story. Hold on. We got to talk to a few others here and then decide who the winner is. Steve is calling from Chicago. Hey, Steve, tell us about your lucky day.
Hey, how are you, Bill?
Good, thanks.
Last summer was my birthday. I was living in Champaign, Illinois. My fiance was living in Chicago. And she was working farmers markets every morning, waking up at 3 and 4 in the morning. And wasn't able to come back down for my birthday. Little did I know, 7 o'clock at night, she drove right back down after her farmers market, showed up at my door with a dozen roses, cooked me dinner, drove back, and went straight to her market the next day without sleeping.
Oh, my God. Pretty devoted girlfriend there, huh?
Yeah, we're getting married in July.
Good for you. Right.
Yeah, don't let that one get loose.
That's Steve. Right. Hey, you going to get married at the farmer's market?
I proposed to her at the farmer's
market. All right.
We're getting married in a farm in Geneva.
Geneva, Illinois, or?
Yeah, Geneva, Illinois.
Got it. Okay. Steve, that's a great story. Okay, thanks. Hold on now. Put you on hold just so we know how to catch you if you're the lucky winner. Out in Chicago, Chicago. Feeling pretty romantic this morning. Here's Tim. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. So, your lucky day.
My lucky day. I woke up one morning and my wife had already left for work. I went in to put my clothes on and my pockets were filled with atomic fireballs. And so, I called my wife at work and asked her what it was all about. She asked if I had left the room yet. I said no. So she said, well, go do that and then call me back. So I opened the door, and there was a trail of atomic fireballs that led down the stairs through our mudroom area and then out into the garage. I kept following them, and it went right up to my car. I opened the car door, and my seat was filled with atomic fireballs, and there was a big sign on it that said, I'm so hot for you.
Whoa, man. That took
That
took a lot of work and a lot of planning. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you. Hey, pretty creative wife there, Tim. Okay, that's a good story. I love it. Hold on a little bit while we talk to Tom from Indianapolis. Hey, Tom, good morning. Thanks for your call.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
All right, good. So, your story.
Well, my wife and I were high school sweethearts, and the summer after our senior year, before we were married, she took a trip through Europe with the Methodist youth group, and we wrote love letters back and forth. And she wrote me one special one from St. Goar, overlooking the Rhine River in Germany. It was in the evening up in an apple orchard overlooking the river, and described it very well in her letter. And it's a letter I'll never forget. For our 25th wedding anniversary, I surprised her. We were traveling through Europe for our anniversary, and I found that apple orchard.
Oh, my God.
St. Goar, and we found what was left of the park bench, the two concrete ends. The wood had long gone, and it was a very romantic moment and evening. We'll be celebrating our 40th wedding anniversary next month.
Good for you. Yeah, a little romantic in Tom there, too, not just his wife. I love that story, Tom. That's a great story, and you know, the apple, that's how it all started. Adam and Eve, so there you go. All right, so we've got others too, but we got a short on time here now. So it's going to be Elner up in Buffalo or Steve, Tim in Chicago, Tom in Indianapolis, the judges. We don't have Simon and Ellen
I'll
and
play
Randy.
The Ellen role.
I'm sorry. Okay. All right. You guys, have you talked about it? You got a winner here?
Well, my vote is Tim in Chicago with the atomic fireballs.
My vote is Steve in Chicago with the trip from the farmer's market. I think the fact that she drove and didn't sleep before work, that is incredibly romantic.
Oh, my God.
So you get to break the tie. But then again, your vote counts as two, so whatever you go with wins.
I didn't realize the pressure was going to be on.
Pressure's on.
Oh, the pressure's on. Well, I'm going to say, Steve, you're the big winner today.
Yeah!
All right, Steve, hold on. We'll get to that $50 gift certificate, and I'll be back with a parting shot.
Twitter feed at Bill's White House Report, exclusively at the brand new BillPressShow.com. This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM 760.net.
Hey, friends, you've heard me talk about Vermont Teddy Bears for years because I know what a big hit they are. Well, this year, you ought to give it a try, too. Think of it this way. Women love a guy that makes them smile. Trust me, the bear makes her smile. And women love a guy that's his own man. Well, this Valentine's Day is a chance to show her you're different. Forget flowers or chocolates. With Vermont Teddy Bears, you'll get a smile every day, long after the flowers are wilted and the chocolates are gone. That's the beautiful part. Every time she sees that bear, two things happen. She thinks of you, and she smiles. You could even choose a bestseller like Loverboy or Love Bandit. Yes, send her a Vermont teddy bear for Valentine's Day. Send her a Vermont teddy bear for Valentine's Day. Make sure she gets it at work so she can show it and you off, or send it to her at home with a special love note. Delivery before Valentine's Day is guaranteed. Just call 1-800-829-BEAR or shop online at VermontTeddyBear.com. And make sure to tell them Bill Preston.
Have you heard about geothermal, the renewable energy that works even when the sun doesn't shine and the wind doesn't blow? Not only is geothermal reliable, it can operate at 300 to 600% efficiency. Geothermal is the smartest and greenest way to heat and cool your home. That's why Major Geothermal and Can America Drilling teamed up to offer Denver the peace of mind that your geothermal project is done by some of the top professionals in the field. Climate Master Heat Pumps, one of the top heat pumps in the world, powers the geothermal system. Your geothermal project could also qualify for a 30% tax credit. The goal is to offer a personalized solution to your heating and air conditioning needs to help you maximize your efficiency and reduce your carbon footprint. Call Major Geothermal and Can America Drilling today. 303-424-1622. 303-424-1622. We're online at majorheating.com. Start living greener today. Changing the way America buys windows. That's Windows America. No games, no gimmicks. Just a great window at a great price. Visit Windows America at the Colorado Garden and Home Show at the Colorado Convention Center February 13th through the 21st and get their home show special. Triple pane windows installed for only $349. Click on the banner ad right now, located on your Listen Live player, or visit WindowsAM.com. A proud member of Tom Martino's Troubleshooter Network. Windows America, a better way to buy windows.
What are you doing? OMG. You are making me mad. Are you with your ex? You better text me back. I'm waiting outside your house.
Relentless, aggressive texting is like sending an angry robot to deliver your message. When does the robot become dangerous? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com.
Thatsnotcool.com.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM760.net.
The Parting Shot with Bill Press. This is the Bill Press Show.
And on this snowy Wednesday, February 10, my parting shot for today. Surprise, surprise. Yeah, it was 1:30 yesterday afternoon. Time for the White House briefing to begin. We were all in our seats chatting among ourselves, knowing Robert Gibbs would be at least 15 minutes late, as he always is, when all of a sudden the door opened right on time and in walked the big dog himself, President Obama, striding right up to the podium and taking over. Oh, my God. Clearly, the president wanted to talk about bipartisanship. He said he just finished a meeting with Democratic and Republican leaders and was pleased to discover agreement on several issues. But, he told Republicans, bipartisanship did not mean accepting all of their ideas while rejecting anything Democrats came up with. He also said bipartisanship was not about playing political games like filibustering all of his Senate nominees. And finally, Obama said he was looking forward to a bipartisan meeting on health care on February 25. But John Boehner and Mitch McConnell then came out front and insisted that Obama first throw away the House and Senate bills and start from scratch, and Eric Cantor called the whole meeting a dog and pony show. Clearly, we learned yesterday, bipartisanship in this town has a long way to go. That's my parting shot for today, folks. Well, we'll be shoveling snow here in Washington, and maybe we'll be here. Yeah, we'll be here tomorrow.
This is the Bill Press Show.
It's time to shake those winter blues with the Comcast Red Hot Sale. For a limited time, get Comcast Digital TV for as low as $19.99 per month for 1 year. Call 1-800-COMCAST now. Catch the hottest shows from network favorites like Project Runway on Lifetime, Axemen on History, Burn Notice on USA, and more. You can also stay on top of national news with CNN and Fox News Channel. You get all these and your local broadcast networks with crystal clear picture quality and sound, plus over 40 commercial-free music channels. Keep your TV kid-friendly with Comcast's easy-to-use on-screen program guide featuring parental controls. Your kids can watch great shows like Handy Manny on Disney Channel and Chowder on Cartoon Network. Call 1-800-COMCAST today and get Comcast Digital TV for a red-hot price, as low as $19.99 per month for 1 year. But hurry, sale ends February 14th. Call 1-800-COMCAST now.
Offer ends 2/14/2010. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. New residential customers only. Must subscribe to Digital Economy TV. After promo, regular rate applies. Equipment installation, taxes, and franchise fees extra.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedapani. The weather gods are in a foul mood, unleashing a second blizzard on parts of the east that never recovered from the first storm last weekend.
I'm Peter Mayer in Fairfax, Virginia. It is Whiteout Wednesday here in the Washington area. These high winds and a driving snow are making for a sheet of white as the peak of the storm moves through the area. Police are urging people to stay off the streets. The winds approaching 50 miles an hour are a real hazard to trees and power lines, and driving in this would be like driving with a sheet on your car windows.
The system that moved in over the past few hours has already dumped more than half a foot of fresh snow in Philadelphia, but Nick Martino with the State Department of Transportation says the city and his road crews ain't seen nothing yet.
We're going to be getting blizzard conditions, high winds up to 45-mile-an-hour gusts. So when you have blowing, a lot of drifting, and it really becomes taxing in the operation that is out there in the field.
CBS News early show weatherman Dave Price tells us the city of brotherly love has no more room to put all of that snow.
The snow is everywhere. It's to your left, it's to your right, it's on both sides of the sidewalk, it's on all sides of the streets, on the tops of cars. There's nowhere to escape it.
WCBS's Sean Adams describes conditions in central New Jersey.
I'm at a commuter rail station, which is a veritable ghost town. On the highways, lighter than normal traffic. Those drivers who are out here are slipping and sliding.
Schools and businesses are closed from Virginia to Connecticut. Airlines have canceled thousands of flights. Mandatory evacuation orders are still in effect in the mudslide zone north of Los Angeles. With the rain ending now, some residents could be allowed to return home later in the day. Parts of Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, and Wisconsin got an unwanted early wake-up call, courtesy of a magnitude 4.3 earthquake.
I felt on the top of my bookshelf, I felt everything shaking as if it was going to fall off, and then when I sat up, that's when it stopped.
The quake apparently didn't cause any serious damage. Overseas, the death toll from the avalanche that buried a mountain pass in northern Afghanistan has jumped to 166. Hundreds of people are still trapped in snowbound cars. The latest auto industry recall involves airbags, but as CBS's Jeff Gilbert tells us, it involves Hondas, not Toyotas.
The problem is with the airbag inflator. Honda says it can deploy with too much power, and that can cause injury or even death. There have been about a dozen incidents overall. This problem prompted an earlier recall, and now Honda's added about 378,000 vehicles from the 01 and 02 model years as a precaution, the company says.
Every second counts when someone has a heart attack, but an American Heart Association study shows that too many women would be reluctant to get help at the first sign of telltale symptoms.
About half of them think they would call 911, and about a quarter of them so they would take aspirin.
Case Western Reserve Professor of Medicine Ileana Pena. S&P futures are up about a point just ahead of the opening bell. This is CBS News.
Ford and Lincoln Mercury Micro talking about eyeballs.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service presents Micro talking about something else.
When I do projects around the house, I'm kind of an eyeball guy.
Uh-huh, eyeballs.
You know what I mean. I hang a picture, I look at it, I eyeball it. Well, you know who doesn't do that? The service technicians at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. They are precise, to the millimeter, to the milliliter. They're thorough. So if you're coming in for brake service or tires or an oil change, you'll be in good hands, meaning not mine.
Get the Works Fuel Saver Package, a Motocraft oil and filter change, tire rotation, battery test, brake inspection, check of belts and hoses, and more. Just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
See? Thorough. What do you want for your car? Close enough? Pretty decent? Come on. Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating dealerserve.com for mail-in rebate details through 32710. And we'll keep an eye out for you.
Oof, that's terrible.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Investigators are piecing together more clues into what caused two planes to crash over Boulder Saturday, killing three people. Federal investigators are reconstructing the planes in a Greeley hangar. The FAA's Jennifer Rohde tells our partners at 9 News the debris indicates how lucky the survivors and the glider were.
It can be characterized by some as a miracle that the three survived the accident sequence and they were able to provide their first-hand account of that impact sequence.
A final report on the crash might not be released until the end of the year. We're just a couple days from the opening ceremonies of the Winter Olympics in Vancouver, and Vail skier Lindsey Vonn is now a Sports Illustrated cover girl twice. Vonn was on the cover last week wearing ski gear. This week she's in a whole lot less in their annual swimsuit edition. Bonna's in a bikini on a Canadian mountaintop. In sports, the Nuggets had their most lopsided win of the season last night. They beat the Dallas Mavericks 127-91. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where the highway drive pretty much... typical for this time of morning. We're seeing those usual delays like southbound I-25 as you're coming in from Thornton and Northland. Your slowdowns will start on the approach to 104th, taking you down towards 84th. Brakes loose, then you'll tap your brakes again once you get downtown. Now, as far as those surface streets go, we've got a new accident coming in, Chambers in Mexico, but they've cleared up some surface street crashes, Spear and Colfax, as well as Hampton and Broadway. Quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a sunny day, mild as well, with a high of about 42, 43 degrees. We'll get breezy at times, clear in the overnight, low dropping into the upper teens. Currently, it's 12 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Papa John's was excited to be in the house for Super Bowl 44, so they've cooked up toppings for touchdowns. For every touchdown the Saints scored, they're giving you a free topping on a $9 large cheese pizza. See Papa John's for details. Papa John's, a proud sponsor of Super Bowl 44.
Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service presents Mike Rowe, asking questions for which there are no answers.
Yeah, thanks. Look, Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships have the name brand tires recommended for your vehicle, Michelin, Goodyear, Continental, with a low price guarantee, so why go anywhere else? Why?
We don't know, Mike.
Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service, why go anywhere else for tires?
Again, Mike, we don't know. See a participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership, visit GenuineService.com or call 1-877-310-3673 for details through 12-31-10. Competitors ad required.
Sirota is not your garden variety liberal.
David Sirota.
He's bright, he's intelligent, he is very committed.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Bye, bye,
bye, bye, yeah. 7:06 here on AM 760, Progressive Talk. It is Wednesday, hump day. So, basically, after this, you only have two more days until your weekend. I know, I'm being an eternal optimist. Hump day is always the toughest day of the week for me, I think. I got to file my column this week. It's going to be on the federal budget and on how the budget debate over the deficit has really been distorted over how to actually solve the deficit, what the problem with the deficit really is. We've got a busy show for you today. At 7:20, we're going to get an update on legislation in the state capitol right now that could impact in a very serious way the microbrew industry. There's this debate about whether supermarkets should be allowed to sell beer with higher than 3.2% alcohol volume. And my initial reaction to this was like, yeah, sure, that would be great. And then I started talking to some microbrew folks who said if that happens, it could absolutely destroy their industry. So we're going to check in about that at 7:20. And then at 8, we're going to be joined by Mark Weisbrot, who has written a great piece for his organization. He has a column. He works for the Center for Economic and Policy Research called Why Washington Cares About Countries Like Haiti and Honduras. The point is, you know, there's been a lot of talk after the Haiti earthquake that, oh, you know, the United States hasn't really done anything to Haiti in the past. I wrote a column about this a couple weeks ago. Because why would the United States care about such a small country as Haiti? Or Honduras, which of course had that political strife. And there are many reasons why we seek to influence right now. And we continue to seek to influence the Western Hemisphere, countries in the Western Hemisphere all around us. So we're going to talk to Mark Weisbrod about that at 8. On our website, also, I want you to check this out. We have a video with an interview from Westward. The Westward cover story is about one Iraq veteran who is suffering from PTSD. And we're going to talk to this veteran tomorrow. But there's a video up on our website, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. It's up there. You can watch that that interview there with this Iraq vet that we're going to have on tomorrow, Nick Gray, about PTSD. It's a really, really frightening story. And that's tomorrow. So the video's up there. First thing I want to talk about today, I'm still in my spat with Sean Page, who is the city councilman from Colorado Springs. The backstory on this is I wrote this column about the budget cuts down in Colorado Springs. They're basically shutting off the lights down there, not paving the roads, letting the parks close, all that stuff. And I did some research yesterday, because I'm writing my column, as I said, about the federal budget. And I did some research yesterday based on somebody instant messaged the show and said, you know, you should really look at just how much of Colorado Springs really does rely on the government. And so I did a little research on this question, just because I was interested, because Sean Page and conservatives have argued that Colorado Springs is a bastion of limited government. And this gets to our discussion really about the bigger problem in this country, about the debates that we're having and the debates that we're not having. And I looked it up, went on Google, and here is what I found. I mean, this is an incredible statistic. Right? Colorado Springs, supposedly the pristine version of limited government. It's the nirvana of small government. This is from the Colorado Springs Business Journal. One of every three residents of the Pikes Peak region depends directly or indirectly upon the military. According to the Colorado Springs Chamber of Commerce, the total economic impact, and this is in 2007 when the defense budgets were even lower, the total economic impact of the military in Colorado Springs is $4.58 billion. This represents more than one-third of the total regional economy. So that's right. One-third of Colorado Springs' entire economy relies on the biggest of big government. Now, when you add in city workers, county workers, state workers to that, my guess is you're going to start approaching 50%. So in other words, Colorado Springs is almost literally a ward of the state. Roughly half of its economy relies on government. Relies. You eliminate government, as conservatives down there want to do, and you effectively eliminate, you wipe Colorado Springs off the map. In fact, if you really step back and look at this ideologically, Colorado Springs is as close to a Marxist vision in the United States as any city in America. In the sense that its economy relies pivotally on the government. Now, this is the story conservatives don't tell you, right? This is the story that we don't discuss in our budget debate at the federal level, because we're having a budget debate now, and this is what my column is about that's coming out in the Denver Post and the Fort Collins, Colorado, and, by the way, the Colorado Springs Gazette this weekend, which is that we are having this debate over the deficit, over the federal budget. President Obama has called for a spending freeze on basic social services, what's called non-defense discretionary spending. And somehow, we are not talking about defense spending. We are just not talking about it. There was a new poll that came out, a really sad and depressing poll about the state of the American idiocracy, that found Rasmussen, which is a right-leaning polling operation. They asked Americans, they said, do you believe it's true that Social Security, Medicare, and defense spending now comprise one half of all federal spending? 44% of Americans said they didn't believe it. That was the plurality. Another 20% said they didn't know. So in other words, 64%, more than two-thirds of Americans, either don't know or refuse to believe basic budgetary reality. And the danger really is that in President Obama's proposal to freeze non-defense domestic discretionary spending, that's not Social Security, not Medicare, and not defense, he is helping make us stupider, right? He is helping make America stupid. Because he's saying, yes, it's true that we can somehow deal with a $1.4 trillion deficit without talking about Medicare, Social Security, and in particular, defense. Now, why is he doing that? And why have Republicans, because this is what Republicans have been saying for years and years and years, why do they do this? Well, here's the answer. Medicare and Social Security, these politicians don't want to touch, and rightfully so, because those are the third rails of American politics. That a voter backlash to major cuts to Medicare and Social Security, rightfully so, by the way, those are programs we should not be cutting. That voter backlash to that would be profound. Additionally, those politicians don't want to have the necessary tax debate over Medicare and Social Security that we need to have. Right? So they don't want to cut Medicare and Social Security because they know they'll get punished. And they don't want to have a discussion, for instance, about why, I'll give you talk about Social Security, why people only pay Social Security taxes, for instance, on the first $100,000 of income, but not on any income above that. They don't want to have that tax debate. They don't want to lift that cap. They don't want to eliminate that cap because they don't want to antagonize very rich people who don't want to pay more into the system, don't want to pay more of their fair share. So they don't want to talk about Medicare and Social Security. And if they do want to talk about it, they want to hand it off to a commission that they can ram through cuts. And then they really don't want to talk about defense spending because they have a huge amount of campaign contributions coming in from the defense industry. And there are places all over the country, like Colorado Springs, who have built an economy around the Pentagon budget. Not limited government, the hugest of huge government. And so we are left with a budget debate that makes us stupid. We are left where you have Republicans, and now, the most unfortunate, President Obama, saying, hey, the real way to deal with our budget is to take 14% of the budget, because that's what, by the way, non-defense domestic discretionary spending is, about $440 billion a year out of a $3.5 trillion budget. We want to try to balance the budget through cuts to just 14% of the budget. And, of course, that 14% deals with all sorts of stuff that's important to the middle class, right? The housing department, the labor department, the education department, the health and human services department. So this is really I think, a key part of the budget debate that we're not having, and a good example of how our political debate, both locally and nationally, makes us really stupid. Makes us really, really stupid. Because if you listen to the politicians at the local level down in Colorado Springs, you listen to Sean Page. And by the way, we've invited him on our show. We're going to be inviting him on our show to debate this. But you listen to the politicians locally, they say, no, you know, Colorado Springs, it's great. This is great. We're a success story of limited government. And at the national level, you have now both Republicans and a Democratic president saying, hey, we can balance the budget through cuts to a tiny segment of the budget without having to discuss the real elephant in the room, which is taxes and which is defense spending. And this is why, you know, we talk about the filibuster, and the filibuster is a real problem, but this is why we are so politically polarized at the rank-and-file voter level, because we have a political debate that is making us stupid. Very, very stupid. It's a real tragedy. It's a real tragedy. All right, up next, speaking of trying to not make us stupid, we're going to try to explore and get to the bottom of this debate going on in the legislature over the economy and a major part of our economy, which is the microbrew industry. And we're not drinking beer today, but this is an issue that's gone back and forth. Should we allow alcohol, higher volume alcohol content beer, in our grocery stores? The microbrew industry says it will put them out of business. Stick around for that after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, David. Good morning. We do see some stop-and-go jams eastbound 270 between 25 and Vasquez. Things are looking a little better than we're usually used to on I-25. Speeds are in the 30s and 40s southbound, leaving North Glen 120th to 84th again after I-70. In Aurora, 225 stacked up now, both directions beginning at Parker Road. Have one crash out there at Chambers near Mexico. The forecast, sunny skies, light winds, and a high in the low 40s. We should stay dry through at least Sunday. Tomorrow, sunny with light winds and a high of 45. Right now, 13 in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
You're right.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. Today we're talking about
savings.
Hey, Flo. I'd love to save on my car insurance, but I don't know where to start.
You start right here. We'll compare our Progressive Direct rate to other top companies so you get a great price.
You'd do that for me?
Just for you and everyone else.
Everyone!
While you're online, check out Progressive.com today for a free quote. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Valentine's Day is coming fast. ProFlowers.com has an amazing deal just for online listeners. ProFlowers is offering Valentine's Day bouquets starting at just $19.99. Plus, get a free glass vase and our 100% freshness guarantee when you order today. That's a great deal. To ensure delivery by Valentine's Day, click on the ProFlowers ad showing now. Or visit ProFlowers.com. Click on the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner and enter the password HOT19. That's ProFlowers.com, radio microphone password HOT19.
Peter Baruch, Senior Compliance Director for the Business Software Alliance.
One out of every five software programs is stolen in the U.S. Consider what would happen to the challenged auto industry if one out of every five cars was stolen. Report software piracy. It's the right thing to do.
Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $1 million. Visit www.nopiracy.com. Otherwise, call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. Also, you can use Bing or Google and simply input BS.
Just a beautiful smile. They help you maintain a healthy mouth. Some services they offer, invisible braces, all porcelain crowns, incredible smiles, veneers, laser cleanings, and yes, sleep studies. Sleep studies and solutions for snores. This is the easiest thing you can do if you're having trouble sleeping. Give Lori and her associates at Incredible Smiles a call, 303-77-SMILE. That's 303-77-SMILE. I know, you may think, hey, dentistry has nothing to do with trouble sleeping. It's nothing to do with snoring. You're dead wrong. I took the test myself. It was pretty revealing about what was going on with my sleeping. 303-77-SMILE. That's 303-777-6453. Call Incredible Smiles today. You can find them on the web at incrediblesmiles.com. 303-77-SMILE. That's 303-777-6453. Tell them Sirota sent you. You won't regret it.
much could you be saving on car insurance? $300, $400, $500? There's a real easy way to find out. Just go to geico.com or call 1-800-974-AUTO.
What people in America don't get is that it's not a this or not this. It's a this or that. It's not a you have big government or you have small government.
Learn a little something. Afternoons at 1.
Let's go back to what the founders had. The Boston Tea Party was a revolt against a tax cut by the British government to put entrepreneurial tea sellers in the colonies out of business.
Tom Hartman on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Twenty-four here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I want to get to the bottom of an issue in the legislature that has flown under the radar, but is really, really important. It deals with our local economy and a struggle, really a kind of a power struggle between liquor stores, the microbrew industry, the big brewers, the grocery stores. It's a crazy, crazy issue, and it's one that I've been confused about, and we want to get to the bottom of. And so we've asked Gene McAvoy, the president of the Colorado Licensed Beverages Association, to come on the show this morning. The Denver Post has reported that there is a couple bills and revised bills moving through the legislature about whether groceries can sell higher alcohol volume beverages, the big grocery chains, and what that would really do for the Colorado or to the Colorado economy. Gene, thanks for taking the time this morning. Tell us, if you can, before we get into the specifics of any one bill, tell us what the debate is over. Because if I remember correctly, there was a talk, or maybe there even was just a couple of years ago, a ballot initiative about this. Tell us what this issue is all about.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on. I may sound a little froggy in the morning, but I'm glad to be here, and I'll tell you just as much as I can about this issue. And I think a politician or a political advisor said, it's about the money, or it's about the economy. Well, here it's about the money. It's in issues, economic issues, it's always, I think, about the money. And unfortunately, there's going to be some casualties should either one of these bills pass, and not only the casualties of the liquor stores, the craft brewers, the craft distillers, the wineries in Colorado. The liquor stores are where they showcase their products. They can walk into a liquor store, meet with the manager, say, try this product for a while, see what you think. I used to have a liquor store in Loveland, Colorado, and I was a small store anchored next to a grocery store. I carried 48 different craft brews, about 20-some different Colorado wines, and a few distilled spirits. That's a growing craft industry in Colorado. So had Albertsons been able to take my beer, which was my number one selling product, I don't think I'd have been there very long. It's a foot traffic that I counted on to keep the store open. I think that you need to know about the issues, it's been around for a long time. The grocery and convenience store industry have tried this in Colorado for over 30 years, about 7 or 8 different times.
They want to sell higher alcohol volume products.
Oh, yeah.
They're allowed to sell, what, 3.2% beer right now,
That's
right?
That's correct.
Yeah, so they want to be able to sell regular strength or even higher strength beer. They want to be able to sell wine.
And they want to be able to sell spirits.
And they want to be able to sell spirits. Okay. So the average consumer who's not paying attention to this, the average consumer, I'm guessing, because when I first heard about this, I said, hey, you know, great. That'd be great. It would make products more available. You are saying, no, there's a downside to this.
There is a downside. The purchasing product with C-stores and grocery stores is dictated by corporations. 7-Eleven, the decisions about what you put on the products, the majority of the products in a C-store in a 7-Eleven comes from Texas. Kroger, Cincinnati, I think, if I got that correct. Safeway, I can't recall where their headquarters are, but the decisions about what to put on the shelves are not made here locally. In a liquor store, the manager or the owner make those decisions.
Because the liquor store is smaller, more independent.
Yeah, and they've been, the law has said, one person, one store. That's all you can have.
Okay.
You can't have any more.
So if I hear what you're saying correctly, the problem would be is that the big grocery chains who are multi-state giant corporations, largely, they will choose more often to sell big, large manufactured, let's say beers, for instance, from the big corporations that they already have a kind of corporate relationship with, and the small brewers will have a tougher time getting their products out into the market.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would like your your listeners to also realize that the C stores who are proposing...
Those are the convenience stores.
The smaller
convenience stores.
The Circle K's are franchises owned by a Canadian company. 7-Eleven is a Japanese corporation. Loaf and Jug, that's Kroger. So convenience stores are really groceries, are an arm of groceries.
Well, let me play devil's advocate
okay.
for a second. What would stop? Because I'm guessing there are folks out there listening to this and saying, "Well, look, if there's a great local brewing company out there that just makes great beer,
mm-hmm.
what's stopping them? What would stop them from going to Safeway and saying, "Hey, you can sell a lot of we've got a great product, mm-hmm. consumers will want it, mm-hmm. put it on your shelves."
Because back to the big corporations, the domestic brewers, the AB InBev, Miller Coors now, they have relationships that go for many, many years with the grocery stores. They are not going to give up any space on the shelf for a new product.
And that's the thing. I think a lot of people forget this, that a lot of times these large corporations, when you walk into a grocery store, large corporations are paying for shelf space, and particularly premium shelf space.
Now, I do have to interject here in the state of Colorado, and I think it's also a federal regulation, slotting fees for beverage alcohol, which means beer, wine, and spirits, is not allowed.
It's not allowed.
Prohibited. But, once again, who's been on the shelf in the grocery store for 30, 40 years? It's been the big domestics, and they are not going to give up that space, just like Coca-Cola and Frito-Lay don't give up their space to little startup chips and soda companies.
Now, this says nothing about the liquor store, the local independently owned liquor store, which would be crushed by this.
No.
I mean, and the local independently owned liquor store, one of their niche markets is that you can go into your local independently owned liquor store and find higher strength and more local beer.
And let me give you an example of not only beer, but there's a product out of Fort Collins called Coyote Gold. It is a premium premixed margarita. It's wonderful. It's absolutely fantastic, and I think the majority of liquor stores carry it here in Colorado. It will never make the shelves in the big domestics, and it's an incredible product, and it's going gangbusters. Randy and Maureen, who own the business, are in Fort Collins. They come into the liquor stores themselves and say, "Hey, I'd like you to try this."
See, and what I don't understand about this is, right, because we can have an economic debate about whether this is a
right.
good idea or a bad idea, but the proponents who are pushing this, are they diagnosing any problem? I mean, my question is, what is the problem that they're trying to fix? Like, I don't find it all that difficult anywhere that I've been in Colorado to find, beer.
Well, I'll explain the C-store problem. They will tell you that their 3-2 beer sales have plummeted. They're down 50%. Well, 50%, you think, oh, my God, that's terrible. They're down 50%. We have to help them. Let me tell you what 50% means in a convenience store, 3-2 beer sales. 80% of the 3-2 beer in Colorado is sold in the grocery stores. So you're down to 20%. If you do all the calculations, and you can get the information from the Liquor Enforcement Division's website about excise tax collections for 2009. That's how you figure out how much beer was sold. the average convenience store sales of beer are down by 2.5 cases a week.
Mm-hmm.
And the profit on that's about $5. So they're down $10 a week.
So this is a case. This is a case. And again, on the line with us is Gene McAvoy, the president of the Colorado Licensed Beverage Association. We're talking about this bill in the legislature. It comes up. It's been coming up quite often now.
Yes.
To allow grocery stores, the big grocery chains, to sell higher volume alcohol beverages. They're only allowed to sell 3.2% alcohol beverages here in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And there's you know, it seems at the top level, you know, it seems like a pretty straightforward debate. But as you're hearing, there's a lot of different issues that this brings up. Is it going to crush local independently owned liquor stores? Is it going to crush the microbrew industry? You can find her website, myclba.com. That's myclba.com. This was recently written up in the Denver Post. And you know, I wonder if you can project out for us, if this bill passes,
mm-hmm.
is it realistic in your mind to say that locally brewed, because that's just as an example, locally brewed or beer or locally made wine will, for the average consumer, become less available? I mean, will this have a serious negative impact on the local brewing and local alcohol manufacturing industry?
I think it will, because if you look at the average liquor store, 50 to 75% of their sales are beer, which does include craft beer. And if you divert those beer sales, even 10 to 20% over to the grocery store that's in the same parking lot or the convenience store that you share a wall with, you have a problem. You won't be able to stay open. You're going to make some serious cuts and we don't need any more employment, or you're going to stop carrying some products and, your beer is what we call the bread and butter. That's what allows.
Yeah, you know, because I had this when I first heard about this. I was like, you know, this is great. It's going to turn my, you know, when I go into Safeway now, I'll see a big selection of locally owned microbrews, local microbrews. And then I started thinking, well, wait a minute. Maybe what I'll really see is the local liquor store in the same parking lot. I mean, I live over in Mayfair, right? I'll see Mayfair Liquors go out of business, where I just picked up a 4-pack of 10-50 from Oscar Blues. I'll see them go out of business,
mm-hmm.
and I'll go over to the King Supers, and I'll be able to get there as, like, you know, Budweiser.
Right, right. And Tom would miss you at Mayfair.
Yeah.
It's one of our quality members. All of our members are quality. There's one thing that I'd like your viewers to know about this legislation, the convenience store legislation, which is House Bill 1186. And it's not an economic issue, but I think it's an extremely important issue, is that bill fails to address the issue of underage selling. It would allow a 16-year-old and an 18-year-old to be in the store on a Friday night alone, managing the store. Now, what do you think is going to happen when...
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
You mean that a convenience store would be able to sell full-strength alcohol, and the convenience store could be run on a Friday night, in a typical Friday night, by a 16 or an 18-year-old?
By a 16 would have to be supervised.
Right, but an 18-year-old could be running the stores, not of legal drinking age, to be
right.
selling full-strength alcohol.
And we think that's absolutely unconscionable.
Yeah, that is. See, and this is what I said. There are so many different issues in this. I thought it was a completely straightforward issue. Gene McAvoy, again, the president of the Colorado Licensed Beverage Association. You can find our website, MYCLBA. Gene, thank you so much for taking the time this morning and helping us clarify what's going on here. We really appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate all the craft products that our members are able to carry, and thank you for having us on.
My pleasure. 7:37 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. So what do you think about this? Do you think the grocery stores, the big multi-state grocery corporations, should be allowed to sell alcohol at a high, you know, full-strength beer? Do you think this is a good idea, a bad idea? Do you buy the argument that it will destroy or at least negatively impact the microbrew industry, even local wineries? Do you buy that argument, or do you think this is a good idea? And do you think it'll hurt local liquor stores? And if so, do you care about that? 303-713-7600, 303-713-7600.
Dave, you know where I'll land on this one. I'll land with the Brewers here in Colorado.
That's right. I mean,
if they say I'm for or against this bill, I'm going to stand with them.
And I should say, we have not gotten official word from the Microbrew Guild.
Right. I tried to get them. We have not gotten heard back.
But I will say this: in the past, most of the craft. I think I'm accurate in saying this. I'll just put it this way: many microbrew folks have said this would be very bad for them.
Yep.
And so my interest in this is obviously for the economy, and one big part of our economy, one of the most exciting parts of our economy, I think, is the microbrew industry. It's small business. Yep. These are mostly independently owned. It's really something that defines our state, and I get real worried when I hear that a bill in the legislature would empower, you know, these out-of-state corporations that own, you know, Safeway and King Soopers and Albertsons to effectively crush that industry. That's where I come down. I wonder where the listeners come down. 303-713-7600. Because I will say, Turk, this kind of confused me at the start.
Yeah, me too. You know, I was in the same boat as you. Like, hey, it'd be cool to have, you know, Ska Brewery down at the Safeway.
Right, but then you start thinking, wait a minute, that's not what's going to happen.
Right.
It's going to be all Budweiser.
And like she said, man, Budweiser and Coors and those, you know, these big Molson.
Right.
And they're not going to give up that space in the stores.
They are not. And they've got those relationships.
Right.
And they can undersell.
They've been around for 30, 40, 50, 60, you know.
That's exactly right.
However long they've been putting Budweiser on the shelves.
That's exactly right. 303-713-7600. You can instant message us. AM760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. Up next, we'll fill you in on seatbelt legislation. Why are we forfeiting $12 million in the Colorado legislature? And then we'll take your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
No accidents on the freeways around town, which is a good thing for us. It looks a lot lighter than the rest of the week has been. We do see some stop and go, normal spots though. Southbound 225, Park Road to 25. Also that eastbound 270 approach into downtown from 25 to Vasquez. Also looking at some heavy jams on C470 this morning. Eastbound between Broadway and Quebec and westbound between 285 and Morrison Road. Have an auto versus pedestrian crash at Colfax and Sable and a crash at Chambers near Mexico. Forecast today, sunny skies, light winds, but a warming trend underway. High near 42, right now 13 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Papa John's was excited to be in the house for Super Bowl 44, so they've cooked up toppings for touchdowns. For every touchdown the Saints scored, they're giving you a free topping on a $9 large cheese pizza. See PapaJohns.com for details. Papa John's, a proud sponsor of Super Bowl 44.
This is the theme to Forever Lovers, the movie I wanted to see. This is the theme to Hillbilly Hamsters, a big hit with kids. I searched online. I couldn't find the showtimes. It was the only other movie playing. How bad could it be? Very, very bad.
Yahoo Search delivers movie trailers, reviews, showtimes, theater info, and more. All on one page, right at the top. Just what you need. Just one search.
Next time I'm using Yahoo Search.
Yahoo!
Hi, this is Mario for Mike Turner and Scott Henderson, proud supporters of AM 760. Mike and Scott are personal injury lawyers who've supported this station since the beginning. They represent people, not corporations pretending to be people. The law firm of Mike Turner and Scott Henderson. Call 303-300-1600 for a free consult. They support AM 760 listeners. Progressive attorneys for progressive people. Mike Turner and Scott Henderson.
Hey, it's Dave Sirota. You've got to visit the Yak and Yeti restaurant and brew pub. It's absolutely the best place in town to get incredible Indian, Nepal, and Tibetan cuisine. Family-owned, the Yak and Yeti serves lunch from 11 to 3 and dinner from 5 to 9:30, 7 days a week. And they offer vegan and vegetarian menus. Visit one of their two great locations, in Arvada on Ralston Road and Old Wadsworth, and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad and get 10% off your bill, theyakandyeti.com.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. First up at auction, we have here a very rare Ming vase from the Ming Dynasty. We will start the bidding at free. Do I hear free?
Free? I'll take it.
Sold to the young lady in the front row for $0.
Wait.
Free is better. Do your simple federal return for free at TurboTax.com. It's free to prepare, free to print, and free to e-file. No wonder TurboTax is the most trusted brand of tax software. Visit TurboTax.com today. Choose easy. Trust and claim based on survey July 2009.
Following is someone who reported software piracy. Did you fear that you might get caught?
It's not as big of a chance as everybody makes it out to be. It's just about doing the right thing and making sure that people are compensated for the work they do. I mean, it'd be the same as your company telling you that they don't want to pay you this week because you just don't feel like it.
Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $1 million. Visit www.nopiracy.com. Otherwise, call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. Also, you can use Bing or Google and simply input BSA.
Some of the lowest rates in a generation. Even if you owe more than the house is worth, we can save you a fortune with this deal. It's the biggest no-brainer in the history of Earth. Call Lennox Financial, 720-889-9400. That's Lennox Financial, 720-889-9400.
What do you have? Pabst Blue Ribbon. What'll you have? Pabst Blue Ribbon.
When you're watching TV, boxing bouts with fighters swinging hooks and clouds.
743 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Should Colorado allow the big grocery chains to sell higher alcohol volume beer and wine? This is the debate in the Colorado legislature right now. The big grocery chains saying they want it. Independently owned liquor stores saying they don't want it. A lot of Colorado local microbrews have said they're very worried about this, worried that those big corporations would not sell their products. What do you think? 303-713-7600. We're going to get to the phones in a sec. We're getting a lot of your instant messages as well. You can always instant message us, am760.net. And I also want to fill you in on this other piece of legislation in the legislature right now. A plan to let police pull over unbuckled drivers and charge them higher fees hit a dead end in committee Tuesday after Colorado lawmakers gutted the bill, likely forfeiting $12 million in federal transportation money in the process. Lawmakers on the Senate Transportation Committee said they struggled to balance their constituents' personal freedoms with public safety concerns. Police officers can already ticket drivers who don't wear their seatbelts, but only if the officer has another reason to stop the car. Fines would have jumped $10 to $75 for violations under this new bill, being pushed by Suzanne Williams, the Democrat of Aurora. The bill would have raised $300,000 for state transportation and attracted a potential $12 million in federal funds, federal matching funds for this. So I think that's a huge mistake. I mean, really, people should be wearing their seatbelt. And now in a budget crisis, we're forfeiting $12 million because we won't strengthen our seatbelt laws. I mean, come on. All right, let's go to the phones about this alcohol issue, this fight between the big grocery stores and the liquor stores and the microbrew industry and, of course, the big brewers. What do you think about it? Jim in Broomfield. Jim, you're on AM 760.
Morning, David.
Morning.
Hey, well, as usual with everything, I don't think there's an absolute answer, but my hunch would be this, at least. Yeah, I think the microbrews would certainly lose some of the market share, but if they're a beer drinker like me and the Safeways and King Supers aren't carrying their beer, they're still going to go to the liquor store to get it. So I there might be some deal they're going to settle for Coors or Bud, but not me, and I bet not you. You're going to go get
Yeah, that's true.
The microbrew you like, no matter where you have to go to get it.
That's true. Except for, you have to ask yourself an honest question. How many people are, are that specific in their tastes? By that I mean, and I don't mean any disrespect. I mean, you and I are probably pretty specific, and Turk is probably pretty specific in their in our tastes, but there's something to be said for if I'm in a store, I have to go to a store to get regular strength beer, right? And if my, and right now I got to go to a liquor store, and typically liquor stores offer me obviously more than Budweiser and Coors and all the big guys, right?
Right.
So there's something to be said for the fact that if you limit that selection, if by accident or on purpose a bill effectively limits that smorgasbord to a lot of people, that the casual buyer will simply default to the bigger to what's being offered. And I want to be clear about this. There's an interesting piece of this that also is kind of within the microbrew industry itself, right? Because this is going to also potentially strengthen not just the huge brewers, but the bigger end of the microbrews, right? If you're the small microbrew that's just starting out, right, that's been around for 3, 4, 5 years, you can be making great stuff,
But if you have now a new liquor economy that whose infrastructure is being sold, is channeled in a way that it rewards the bigger guys, whether the big microbrews or the huge, you know, conglomerate, the Coorses of the world, it's just going to be harder for you to start out. And we talk so much about small business, right? You hear so much talk about small business. Well, local independent liquor stores are a small business, and small microbrews are the epitome of small business. I mean, to me, it's kind of like first do no harm. You know, if we've got a burgeoning small business sector here, and the microbrew industry is one example, shouldn't we say, hey, we need to do whatever we can to preserve and strengthen this, and kind of the Hippocratic Oath, first do no harm. I don't really understand what problem this bill is solving.
No, that's a good point. I hear you. I guess the thing, my parting thought is this. You know, I'm from California. I lived there most of my life, and granted, the liquor laws there are much different. But you know, in California, you get anything you want at a Safeway, at a drugstore, and there were still liquor stores around. And I'm not necessarily talking about microbrews, because I'm not sure how big the microbrew industry is nowhere near as big in California
per capita
as it is here in Colorado. Right. But in terms of like liquor stores and stuff. There's still liquor stores.
Yeah, that's true. No, I agree.
So I don't think liquor stores can keep whining about this. I don't want the good stuff, the hard stuff sold at grocery stores.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, look, liquor stores are still going to have business to do. They're going to have less business to do. I agree. Frankly, I'm most worried when I listen to this. I'm most worried about the microbrews. I think you're right. I think the liquor stores will still have hard liquor business to do. I'm most worried about right now. The microbrews. Hey, Jim, thanks for the call. Let's go to another Jim. We'll go to Jim in Denver. Jim, you're on AM 760.
Jim in Broomfield actually made most of my point.
But, hey, man.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Really, I think this bill, why I support it, is two words. Trader Joe's. Are you familiar with Trader Joe's?
Yeah, I know Trader Joe's, sure.
They're not here in Colorado because of the liquor laws. They make a substantial part of their income off of beer and wine sales. But in my mind, the important thing is they also have very high quality, inexpensive, great food offerings.
Wait, but you're saying you're kind of mixing two issues, aren't you? I mean, Trader Joe's, I've liked Trader Joe's too, but you're saying they're not here specifically because of the current regulation, and you want them here because they provide good, you know, they have good other products. My response to that is, if they can make a go of it with those other good products, why can't they make a go of it?
There's two reasons they're not here in Colorado. One is we're too isolated. They need 20 stores to support a warehouse and the liquor laws. If you have both of those factors against them, they're not going to come here.
All right. Well, you know what, Jim? I got to be honest with you. I, as much as I like Trader Joe's, the question is, what is more important to the Colorado economy? Having a couple Trader Joe's, let's say even 20 Trader Joe's across the state, or making sure that we have a burgeoning small business economy and the local microbrew economy, which has been so important to that and increasingly important to that, not just for itself, but to attract visitors, to attract tourists. I mean, which is more important? You know, you're in my desire to have, you know, be cool to go to a Trader Joe's. I'm not denying that. Or
you walk into a Trader Joe's, and they actually do support a lot of the good local folks. You go to California, you see good local.
No, I'm not saying that about Trader Joe's. You're right. Trader Joe's might. But I think it's kind of undeniable. I think there's clearly something to the idea that the Safeways, the King Supers, and the Albertsons would create a real impediment to the local microbrew economy. And I think that's what I think we got to worry about. At least that's what I'm worried about. I'm in the first do no harm. But I gotta tell you, Jim, I do agree. I can't argue with you on the sense that Trader Joe's is pretty damn good. Thanks for the call, man. 752 here on AM 7. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, David. Traffic is still in decent shape for us on the freeways around town. Just the normal jams. Volumes are pretty high, but speeds a little better than we've seen on Monday and Tuesday. 25 stacked up northbound side, Orchard to Bellevue, again from Washington Street up to 6th Avenue. Southbounders leaving North Glen, 120th down to 84th again from 48th past 23rd. C-470 also stacked pretty solid now. Westbound side from about 285 to Morrison Road, and eastbounders in Highlands Ranch at Broadway up past past Quebec. Two crashes. One involves a pedestrian at Colfax and Sable. Also cleaning up this crash at Chambers near Mexico. Forecast today, sunny skies, light winds, highs in the low 40s. We should stay dry through at least Sunday. Tomorrow, sunny with light winds and a high of 45. Right now, we're still at 13 degrees here in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
If you want the best price when you sell your gold, it's easy. Just take it to Fast Cash. At Fast Cash, you'll get 40% more for your gold in cash and on the spot. So don't get ripped off. Get a quote before you sell and get what your gold's really worth. Visit FastCashGoldCenters.com.
I hate when I see people discriminated against, even if I don't agree with them. Demeaning people is just wrong. You'd think public universities that are supposed to be a marketplace of ideas would be the one place where that wouldn't happen. But it does, every day.
Christian students are bearing the brunt of this injustice. If you're a Christian and have experienced discrimination, intimidation, or exclusion on campus because of your beliefs, contact speakupmovement.org or text speakup to 411-247.
Hey guys, Valentine's Day is coming fast. ProFlowers is offering one dozen roses starting at just $19.99. That's $19.99 for one dozen roses with a 7-day freshness guarantee. Plus, get a free glass vase when you order today. Where else can you find Valentine's roses for just $19.99? To guarantee delivery by Valentine's Day, click on the ProFlowers ad showing now, or visit ProFlowers.com. Click on the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner and enter password HOT19. That's ProFlowers.com, radio microphone, password HOT19. Order now.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. Today we're talking about
savings.
Hey, Flo. I'd love to save on my car insurance, but I don't know where to start.
You start right here. We'll compare our Progressive direct rate to other top companies so you get a great price.
You'd do that for me?
Just for you and everyone else.
Everyone!
While you're online, check out Progressive.com today for a free quote.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations.
Causing problems with their debt, and the reason that it's causing problems for our markets is obviously we are all connected now. It's a real global economy that we're talking about, and Greece, Spain, Portugal, Ireland, those countries are all threatening to default, or it looks like they might have a serious concern of default on some of their debt, and that certainly would ripple across the pond and impact the U.S. and U.S. economy. So the markets are trading a little bit down still till that all settles down, and I would suspect the markets are going to be volatile for a while. If you're having trouble figuring out how to position yourself, however, we can help you at Presidential Brokerage. And one of the things I don't want you to forget about is your 401k. I mean, we have a 401k program. We know it's got to stay with your employer. That's fine. For a small monthly fee, we can help you manage that. We'll give you a report every month that can tell you how to adjust and how to position yourself properly with your 401k. So if you'd like to learn about that, give us a holler, 303-694-1600 is the number at Presidential Brokerage.
Again, it's 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Mike.
All right, thanks.
Nowadays, when I talk with folks, they know GEICO could save them hundreds on their car insurance. But what they want to know is how GEICO does it. Well, I say, we got tons of great discounts, like good driver discounts, multi-car discounts. And they say, there's no secret formula. And I say, nah, it's just what we do. And then sometimes they say, maybe it's all Ginkgo's a secret. Well, I wouldn't know what to say about that.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
76 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Talking about this bill in the legislature to allow the big grocery stores to sell higher alcohol volume products. Is this a threat to the local microbrew economy? Is it a threat to the local liquor stores? Is it a threat to local wineries? Brenda Littleton, Brenda, you're on AM 760.
Hi, David. Very good to talk to you.
Good talking to you.
I work in the wine industry, and we fought this bill 2 years ago. People don't really realize that Colorado is fourth in inventory for the whole United States when it comes to selection. Anybody who makes wine, because I write about wine, anybody who makes wine can fly here, regardless of the amount of production that they put out, can fly here and sell to individual stores. Of course, they have to go through the supply chain, but if Safeway and Walmart and Costco take over the industry, these small producers who make liquor, who make beer, who make wine, are not going to be able to do business with these big corporations. Safeway will have one buyer. They will want to be able to have a delivery of thousands, I'm sorry, tens of hundreds of thousands of cases in order to fill their stores. So small producers who come with a portfolio, and I'm speaking of wine because that's my expertise, but they'll come with their portfolio that there's no single wine label in there that has more than 5,000 cases in production in any given year.
Yeah, and this is the thing. And Brenda, I'm putting you on hold because we're getting some feedback from your phone, but I this is what I'm saying, right? We have got so much consolidation in our economy. Why are we moving forward with a bill that would allow the distribution network for these locally made products to get more consolidated, to become more of a bottleneck? I think that's a great point. Thanks for the call. Larry in Centennial. Larry, you got about 30 seconds. Fire away.
Yes, David.
Yes, sir.
The whole argument is kind of bogus, really, because 3.2% alcohol is by weight. The full-strength beer is 6% by volume. And if you really want to measure the total alcohol content, the difference is so minute, it's just kind of an absurd argument.
Well, it's not absurd in the sense that, and you can have a discussion about the mathematics of the alcohol, but the fact is, in practice, this will mean, I think, and a lot of people think, it will be harder for the local wine industry and the local beer industry to get its product out. That's really what the problem is with this beer, at least in my mind. All right, that's it. We'll get the national news, and then we'll talk about some national issues after the break.
Hey, Tom Harmon here to tell you about Independent Power Systems. Independent Power Systems is an authorized distributor of Kyocera high-quality, high-performance solar electric systems and modules and a proud supporter of AM 760 Radio. Did you know that Xcel Energy has recently reduced the solar rewards rebate again? Join Independent Power Systems in booth 1275 at the Colorado Home and Garden Show February 13 to the 21st to find out how there's still time to save up to 60% on solar with rebates and incentives. Say hi to the solar backpacker on the show floor for a chance to win the solar backpack or a free home energy audit. So visit Independent Power Systems at the Colorado Home and Garden Show in booth 1275 to learn more. Be sure to drop by Independent Power Systems North Boulder Shop for Solar Community Night the second Thursday of every month. Call 303-443-0115, 303-443-0115, or visit solarips.com/KKZN to learn more. Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts.
The dangerous situation as trees could fall onto power lines.
Authorities have told drivers to stay off the roads, but not everyone's willing to take their advice. In Philadelphia, Nick Martino is the man in charge of road crews struggling to keep highways black and running.
We've already used 72,000 tons of salt. We have another 65,000 on hand, and we're really concerned later in the day with the blizzard conditions coming.
CBS News early show weatherman Dave Price sees another problem.
To walk the narrow streets of South Philadelphia right now, you just don't know where they're going to put the additional snow that's going to fall today. It's remarkable. You have 2.5 feet or close to it that fell last weekend, 8 inches that came overnight, and now more expected today, and there's just no room.
In Southern California, the problem is mud.
They're in there with heavy equipment, hauling it out, scooping it out, so that if more mud comes down, it has somewhere to go, besides into the streets and possibly into homes.
CBS's John Baird in the rain-soaked foothills north of Los Angeles. It's not just Toyota. Now it's Honda's turn for a major recall. Japan's number two car company is asking the owners of more than 400,000 cars to bring them in because of a problem with airbags. CBS's Jeff Gilbert in Detroit.
This is an expansion of a recall Honda announced last year, adding 378,000 01 and 02 model year Hondas and Acuras. Now the concern is with the inflators in the vehicle's airbags, which can deploy with too much power, causing injuries or even deaths. Honda says there have been about a dozen incidents.
An American Heart Association study finds that only half would call for help. Medical professor Ileana Pena says a lot of women aren't even aware of what the early warning signs are.
We still have a lot of work to do in getting women to understand that if they're concerned about what they're feeling, whether it's chest pain or shortness of breath, They need to call 911.
The latest reading on the economy is a MasterCard report that shows consumer spending increased a modest 3.5% in January.
The way I like to think about it is we're really in the beginning stages of a recovery, and so the return to spending is a lot more tentative than most people would like.
MasterCard's Kamalesh Rao. In early trading, the Dow Industrials are down 41 points. This is CBS.
Introducing the new Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express. The only charge card that earns triple points on airfare, double points on gas, and gold point on everything else. Points you can use for over a million rewards, including travel on any airline, anytime. The annual fee for the first year is on us, and you can earn 10,000 bonus points with your first purchase. Start earning brilliantly. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com to apply.
See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
Mark, technician from SafeLight and Elite Auto Glass.
My customer had a small chip on her windshield, but ignored it. Then the other day, she started her cold car, cranked up the heat, and crack, it spread. When a chip's small, we can usually repair it in just a half hour with our state-of-the-art resin. A SafeLight Elite repair is so reliable, we guarantee it for life. And with most insurance plans, it's free.
Call SafeLight Elite Auto Glass at 303-287-5000.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Good news and bad news for Denver area homeowners. A Zillow.com report says 35% of all Metro Denver homeowners were underwater on their mortgages last year. On the more positive side, the report says home values in Metro Denver rose by the largest dollar value of any metro area in the country in 2009. On a cumulative basis, the increase was nearly $8 billion. Percentage-wise, homes in Denver increased in value by 0.5% last year. A funeral service is planned on Saturday for the two brothers who were killed when two planes collided midair in Boulder last weekend. 58-year-old Bob Matthews and his 56-year-old brother Mark were in a small plane that collided with a plane towing a glider. The Matthewses will have a combined service at the Immaculate Conception Catholic Church in Lafayette. In sports, Carmelo Anthony scored 19 points in his return from an ankle injury. The Denver Nuggets posted their most lopsided win of the season. They beat the Dallas Mavericks 127-91. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
No wrecks or stalled, but you will run into delays. Like eastbound C-470, speeds are going to dip down into the teens and 20s. This is between Santa Fe and Broadway. We'll increase it as you're trying to make your way from University and then on towards I-25, but that's still going to be a slow ride, costing about 20 minutes across Highlands Ranch. Southbound 225, also Dragon. After that, Parker curve up towards I-25 with similar speeds on C-470. 270 loading up and slowing down on the westbound side. This starting right around York, taking you just past 76. Quick check on today's forecast. We can expect a high in the low 40s today. Currently, it's sunny and 16 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Papa John's was excited to be in the house for Super Bowl 44, so they've cooked up toppings for touchdowns. For every touchdown the Saints scored, they're giving you a free topping on a $9 large cheese pizza. See PapaJohns.com for details. Papa John's, a proud sponsor of Super Bowl 44.
Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service presents Mike Rowe, for which there are no answers.
Yeah, thanks. Look, Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships have the name brand tires recommended for your vehicle, Michelin, Goodyear, Continental, with a low price guarantee, so why go anywhere else? Why?
We don't know, Mike.
Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service. Why go anywhere else for tires?
Again, Mike, we don't know. See a participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Visit GenuineService.com or call 1-877-310-3673 for details through 12-31-10. Competitors ad required.
Coming up Wednesday on the Tom Harbin program, did you know that every baby born in the United States is tested for a variety of genetic diseases? Well, you might think that sounds good, right? Well, what if I told you that the testing is done without parental knowledge or consent, and that the government is keeping your child's DNA on file indefinitely? And what if that information comes back and can be used against your child later to, say, deny health insurance? Doesn't sound so good now, does it? Dr. Arthur Kaplan will be here.
It's the Tom Harbin program, 1 to 4 on AM 760. Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The one thing I love about your show is you never throw me a softball.
David Sirota.
Always, you're going to give me a hard question no matter what.
On AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
8:07 here on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
I got to have more cowbell.
Yeah, I got to have more cowbell, too. It's time to turn up the heat on some national issues right now. And we're going to do a little bit of a discussion here in this 8 a.m. hour about a bunch of different issues swirling at the national level. And then at 9, just giving you a little bit of a program update where we're going, at 9, we're going to discuss this issue here in Colorado. We'll go back to a local issue about stream access, your right or your lack of rights to use Colorado's streams. But, as I said, we're going to do an hour here on some national issues that I think are not getting nearly enough attention. The first of those is our foreign policy. Haiti has sort of moved off the front pages of the newspapers and moved away from the spotlight, at least in the media right now. And there have been some questions, I think, raised by people about why the United States should care, why the United States has cared, and why the United States has manipulated countries like Haiti and Honduras. Honduras, of course, was in the news a couple months ago about its political strife down there, questions about the U.S. involvement down there. And the question has always been by many people who tune into this kind of news casually. They say, you know, come on, the United States doesn't really care about these countries. I mean, they're small countries. Why would the United States really care? Why would the United States bother to try to manipulate these countries? Well, joining us now is Mark Weisbrod of the Center for Economic and Policy Research. He has a column about this. It's linked on our website, am760.net. And the headline is, Why Washington Cares About Countries Like Haiti and Honduras. Mark, thanks for taking the time this morning. So why don't you answer that question for us? Why would we care? Why does our government care? And maybe care is not the right word, because care suggests that we want to do the right thing. Why is our government interested in countries like these countries?
Well, the people in the State Department, the ones who are making these kinds of decisions, at the top especially, they're looking at it in terms of power and kind of empire, really. They want to maximize their power in the world. This isn't necessarily, you know, anything that benefits me or you. But from their point of view, it's very important to have power. And so they see the small countries. The example I gave in this piece that you mentioned is, it's like pawns in a chess game. If you lose a pawn or two, it can make a difference in the outcome of the game. And so they want to have control over these governments. And very often the smaller countries, they feel they can get those countries or control them with much less effort. You know, there's not much they can do very often about a country like China or Brazil. But a country like Honduras or Haiti, they have much more power. They can, for instance, in Haiti, they did overthrow the government in 2004 and also in 1991. But in 2004, they did it very openly. They simply cut off, they worked with other countries, which is easy for the United States to do very often. They got everybody to cut off aid to the government of Haiti in 2000, all the way through 2004. And since the country was dependent on foreign aid at that time, that wrecked the economy. And then they put money, millions of dollars, into an opposition and built it up. They controlled the media. And pretty soon they had a coup in 2004, and they took the elected president out of the country and flew him to Africa.
So is there a domino theory paranoia behind this? I mean, our meddling in places like Honduras and Haiti, I mean, is that really what motivates it? Like sort of a geopolitical domino theory? Or is it, because some people also would say, well, you know, there's some corporate interests at work here.
There are corporate interests, and I don't want to play those down. I mean, there are a lot of corporate interests in a lot of countries. But I would say that the interest, the straight power interests of the State Department are the ones that really dominate. You know, in Venezuela, for example, where the United States has been heavily involved, they were involved in a coup there in 2002, where they overthrew the government for about 48 hours. You know, for most of the last 6-7 years, I think the biggest oil companies, which are very powerful corporations in the United States, as you know, they pretty much wanted to leave Chavez alone. They wanted stability. and they didn't, you know, they were able to get their oil. They made deals with the government. They weren't the same deals they had before, but they were still making a lot of money, especially while oil prices were rising. And there, I think it was really driven by the State Department. But in other cases, there are particular corporations that do determine policy.
What should we be looking for? And again, on the line with us is Mark Weisbrot of the Center for Economic and Policy Research. His column, which ran in The Guardian, is linked on our website at am760.net. The headline is Why Washington Cares About Countries Like Haiti and Honduras. What should we be looking for, telltale signs, let's say, in what our government is doing or not doing in a situation like Haiti? I mean, are there any red flags for you already that suggest our rescue efforts may be something more than just altruism?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, first of all, we've got, I mean, we're committed to having 20,000 troops there in addition to, you know, 12,500 UN troops. So this is, you know, Haiti's a small country, and our own General Keane from the Southern Command, who was in charge of the operation relief, said that, in fact, there's less violence in Haiti since the earthquake than there was before. So why all these additional troops? Why are they necessary? And the answer is they're not, really, from a humanitarian point of view. They're there, I think, because, again, you have to look at the recent history, not in the long history. I mean, the long history, of course, you know, the U.S. Marines invaded and occupied the country from 1915 to 1934, and really set up the whole army and the repressive apparatus of that country that really kept the people from having a voice in their government. I mean, it's a long, horrible, brutal history. But even just the most recent history, you have this president who was elected for the second time, very popular, in 2000, and was overthrown by the United States in 2004. And the majority of people still want him back there. You know, they after the 2004 coup, they killed an estimated 4,000 people, and they threw the constitutional government leaders in jail. And then they had an election, you know, when and they didn't really give people a choice because the real elected president was being held in exile. And so if you ask people there, or you look at polls there, they still want their elected president back. And people in Haiti are, you know, they're very politically aware. They've been fighting, you know, for centuries. It was, you know, it was born of a slave rebellion. This is a country where it's not like a lot of other countries where, you know, people just accept that the state is brutal and is going to oppress them. You know, the people there have risen up many times. And if you ask me, I would say the United States wants all those troops there because they're afraid that people will take control of their own government again, like they did in when they overthrew the U.S.-backed dictatorship in the late 80s, and when they, of course, elected their own president, you know, three times since then. And so that's, I think, what you're looking at. And the most tragic part of this intervention was that in the week and 2 weeks after the earthquake, especially the first week, week and a half, when aid was most desperately needed, you had, you know, an estimated 300,000 people injured, a lot of them with wounds that were getting infected. And our government actually held up medical supplies to get these troops into the country, these soldiers and their equipment and their support personnel. You know, for most of the first week, the majority of flights were being taken up by this at a time when, you know, there was really no, again, there's no security problem.
And the issue is, and as you reiterate in your article, which again is linked on our website, am760.net, that there has been and that there is a strategic interest. Our government sees a strategic interest in Haiti, far beyond simply altruism, far beyond simply helping Haitians, and by the way, other small countries in our hemisphere, through this earthquake. The troop presence there is something that could, that indicates there's a deeper agenda going on. Again, the piece is at our website, am760.net. Mark Weisbrot of the Center for Economic and Policy Research. You can find his work, by the way, cepr.net. That's cepr.net. Mark, always good to talk to you, and it's I'm a big follower of your writing. Keep it up.
Thank you very much.
All right, talk to you soon. 818 here on AM760 Progressive Talk. Up next, is President Obama deluding himself? I asked that question based on his press conference yesterday and his meetings now. Can he really move the Republicans to help him on issues like a jobs bill, on issues like health care? Or is he negotiating, is he trying to work with, is he trying to pressure the wrong people? My take is his energies are directed in the wrong place. The problem for him, the problem for the country in the short term, is not as much the Republicans as it is the Democrats. That's my take. We'll get into it after a traffic update with John Turk.
David, traffic is pretty stacked up for us now. Most of the morning it's been fairly light compared to the rest of the week, but now really seeing it drag people down. Southbound 225, Parker Road to the Tech Center. Also westbound Turnpike, McCaslin to Baseline. And normal jams here on 25 southbound side there, leaving North Glen 120th down to 84th, a hot spot. Also from I-70 past Spear. Approaches into downtown also behind eastbound 270 between 25 and Vasquez, and on eastbound I-70 between Federal and Colorado Boulevard. The elevated portion is extremely stacked up as you travel eastbound this morning. Crash eastbound I-70 at the Central City exit. Also have one on the ramp to northbound 225 from Tamarack. Your forecast today, snowy with light winds, but a warming trend underway. I'll look for a high around 42 degrees today. Right now, 18 in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Pearl.
This year, stop making resolutions that don't work and start losing weight with a plan that does. Weight Watchers Online. It's Weight Watchers, but it's completely online with 31,000 food options, 1,800 recipes, and restaurant guides. And it's customizable so you can live life, learn to lose weight, and keep it off. Sign up for free. Go to WeightWatchers.com and start today. Weight Watchers Online. Stop dieting. Start living. Sign up fee waived with purchase of 3-month savings plan. Automatically renews until you cancel. Hurry, offer ends March 13th.
Kevin Richards is sending his identity out to pay some bills.
Okay, get in there. Mailman is going to be here any minute. Where am I going again? Time to pay the bills, all right? Just get in.
So you're going to flip up a little red flag, let everybody know I'm in here?
Well, yeah, that's what it's there for.
Hey, why don't you put up a big sign that says, "Hey, identity thieves, he's in here, he's easy pickings. Just open the door and grab him. Come on, everybody, here he is."
Okay, don't be stupid.
All right, well, okay, that would have to be a pretty big sign, I get it, but you get my point.
Your identity is counting on you. Go to identityguard.com right now to get your free identity checkup. Identity Guard is from the company that has already protected over 30 million people. So visit identityguard.com and find out what yours has been up to. That's identityguard.com.
Oh, bro, it smells like mail order cheese and tin in here.
Would you be quiet?
Get your free identity checkup at identityguard.com. Identity Guard, making it okay to trust again.
And personally attest to this, they offer terrific vegan and vegetarian food. And that's not easy to come by. Of course, they don't only offer vegetarian and vegan food, but they offer great vegetarian and vegan food. Visit one of their two great locations in Arvada on Ralston Road and Old Wadsworth, and 86th and Sheridan in Westminster. Mention this ad, mention the AM760 Morning Show, and get 10% off your bill. Check out their menu. Check out their facility at theyakandyeti.com. That's theyakandyeti.com. And when you go, see if you can get a pint of their chai stout. It is absolutely terrific, as is their IPA. And they also have a terrific buffet there as well, if you like buffets. Again, theyakandyeti.com. It's at Ralston Road and Old Wadsworth and 86 and Sheridan in Westminster. Again, mention this ad, 10% off your bill. Now, that's an easy one. That's an easy thing to do, theyakandyeti.com. Check it out. You won't regret it.
Of all the things made just for women, like
manicure, pick a color, sweetheart,
or
for you. Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh.
Maybe this is one of the most important. Centrum Silver Ultra Women's, a scientifically advanced complete multivitamin for women over 50. It also has vitamin D, which emerging science suggests helps support breast health, and more calcium for bone health. Centrum Silver Ultra Women's. More calcium refers to leading women's 50-plus multivitamin brand. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
If there were 100 people in our town, we'd need a couple of traffic lights. If the following year there were a lot more people, we'd need a lot more traffic lights. But if we didn't answer the census, we wouldn't know how much we've grown. We'd still have a couple of traffic lights and a whole lot of gridlock. Answer the census. It's how we get our fair share of funding for the things we need. Look for the census in your mail mid-March. We can't move forward until you mail it back. 2010 Census. It's in our hands. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau. Learn more at 2010census.gov.
If you open your ears,
and I'm just one of those regular guys,
your mind will follow.
I am a liberal.
I consider myself an independent.
And it just blows my mind.
It doesn't matter what side you're from. What matters is what you say, the truth.
Listen.
Be more informed.
Become more informed.
Learn.
I learn a lot. I feel like I get all the real news from you guys.
Talk.
The honest, regular folk.
AM 760.
Taking action.
Colorado's progressive talk.
8:23 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. President Obama did a kind of a spontaneous press conference yesterday. He showed up at the White House press briefing, and he reiterated his call for bipartisanship. He held a meeting at the White House yesterday with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and House Republican Leader John Boehner, talking about health care. Among other things, Mitch McConnell was there, Harry Reid was there, and the mantra from the White House seems to be this renewed push to get Republicans to support the agenda that President Obama campaigned on, at least in theory. The health care bill, as you know, I've said, the Senate health care bill, the version of the health care bill in the Senate, does not represent President Obama's campaign agenda. He promised to pass a and to push for a public option, among other things. The Senate bill doesn't have that. But the bottom line here is, at least rhetorically, the president is saying that he wants and needs the Republicans to help him pass legislation. Now, there's a couple things with this that I'm particularly bothered by. The first thing I'm bothered by is that this continues to be the mantra from the White House at a time when Democrats hold historic majorities in the Congress, historically large majorities in the Congress. Now, I understand, I get it, and I'm there with those who say the Republicans have abused the Senate filibuster. I agree with you, 100%. But that is not an excuse. That does not explain the gridlock going on in the Congress. The Democrats could use reconciliation, which is that annoyingly complex term. All it really means is they could use a procedure that would allow them to pass major pieces of legislation with 51 votes. And they had 59 votes in the Senate. The absurd notion that they need 60 votes to pass anything, you know it's absurd, because let's say the 2008 election had only originally won them 58 or 59 votes. Would the Democrats really be running out and telling us they couldn't do anything with that? I don't think so. I sure hope not, because I think people would have laughed. So the idea that they can't pass anything with 59 votes, and that they needed 60 votes, and that the loss in Massachusetts means they can't do anything, it's just fundamentally ridiculous. And by the way, I think it's politically stupid. I don't think any normal human being out there who listens to any of this thinks that that's true. I think that normal human beings are like, hey, we gave you guys the power, and you haven't done anything, or much of anything, with it yet. You need to pass the stimulus bill, which I think was very good. But the average American is saying, what was the last election about? If the Democrats are running around saying the main way we can pass legislation is to find a couple Republicans in a Congress that we don't mathematically need them. And you can see the frustration. There's a new poll out
today from the Washington Post ABC news poll. A large majority of Americans want Congress, still want Congress, to pass health care reform. 63% of Americans say they want the president to move forward on health care reform. So the question is he focusing pressure? Is he focusing his attention on the wrong target? And if so, why? Is his focus on the Republicans who continue to say no, right? The latest news off the wire that the Republicans are saying that they don't want to have any health care negotiation unless Obama scraps everything that the Congress has done. Now, frankly, I wouldn't really mind if they scrapped the Senate bill. But what the Republicans are really saying is we want you to scrap everything, even the House bill. And that's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. So they are really digging in as the party of no here. And my point here is that I think President Obama refuses, still refuses, to have the fight that needs to be had, which is a fight between Obama and the Democrats in Congress, the Ben Nelsons, the Joe Liebermans. I read a piece over the weekend which made a great point, which said, you know, when George Bush was campaigning for his tax cuts, he showed up in Republican districts and in Democratic districts that he had won and put pressure on those members of Congress to vote for his tax cuts. Why hasn't President Obama gone to states? Why hasn't he gone to a state like Connecticut, which he won overwhelmingly, and absolutely hammered Joe Lieberman? Why didn't he go when he went to Montana a couple months ago? Why did he just go and praise Max Baucus, the most bought-off member of Congress, much less the Democratic Party? Why did he go and praise Max Baucus? Why didn't he say, I want the voters of Montana to put some serious pressure on their senator to help us pass this, to help us pass a good bill, a bill with a public option? He has not done that. He refuses to have that fight. And this is what I'm talking about when I talk about the difference between ideology and partisanship, the difference between doing what it takes to pass an agenda or only doing what it takes to try to protect a political party. It's my belief that the reason the president refuses to put pressure on the Democrats is because, first and foremost, he is thinking about his party. That it's easier as a Democrat to simply blame the Republicans, even if it's mathematically idiotic, and that it's harder for a president to take on the conservative wing, the corporate wing of his own party. There's a lot of pressure to not do that. In fact, there's more pressure to not do that than anything. And I think this is the fundamental bankruptcy right now of the Obama administration, especially when you consider this Washington Post piece out yesterday, which talks about how the current Senate bill, which I do not support, the current Senate bill has already incorporated 6 major Republican ideas. It incorporates the idea of letting families and businesses buy health insurance across state lines. It allows states to form multi-state compacts to do just that. It allows individuals, small businesses, and trade associations to pool together and acquire health insurance at lower prices. They basically compare, the Washington Post does, the Republican Party's website with what's in the Senate bill. Give states the tools to create their own reforms that lower health care costs. There's also the idea of allowing the private sector to run health care. Of course, that's what the Senate bill does, which I don't agree with. But my point here is this. If we have learned one thing over the last year, that the Republicans won't even support a health care bill that represents 6 of their most major, and I think worst, ideas, if he can't even get them to support that, what is he still negotiating with them for? Why does he refuse to have the fight with his own party that so clearly needs to be had? What do you think? 303-713-7600. Again, 303-713-7600. Instant messages, am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. We'll go to Alvin in Greeley. Alvin, you're on AM760.
Hi, David.
Hey, man.
I think Obama's problem is she's not a fighter. She's like a consensus builder. And the Republicans aren't operating in good faith, and he still hasn't figured this out. You know, I mean, how many times do they have to say no to him before he realizes it, you know? And I just don't think she has it in him to fight.
Well, but the thing is, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, I agree with you. There's part of this, I think, is his belief that he wants to be a conciliator and that's the way to pass things. Yeah, I think that there's something to that. Uh-huh. But he definitely, and certainly his administration, has seemed far more willing to fight with progressives than it has been to fight with basically corporate Democrats. I mean, there was a story many months ago where it talked about how the White House was issuing threats to go campaign against, literally campaign against, progressive House members if they voted against funding for the Afghanistan war, right? You've got the White House in the end of the Senate negotiations on health care, the White House saying that they really weren't listening to Senate progressives, right? That they were going to put the hammer to the Senate progressives. The point here is that I agree with you that it's Obama seems just not wanting to really have fights at all, but he specifically, there is one group of people in Washington that he really has refused to fight with above all else, and that is the conservative corporate Democrats, the Ben Nelsons, the Joe Liebermans, the Evan Bys. These are the people he refuses to pressure, and I don't get it. I maybe I do get it, because I don't think, Alvin, that he hasn't figured it out, right? And Barack Obama's a smart guy, right? I think, I keep going back to what Russ Feingold said, a good progressive senator from Wisconsin. Russ Feingold said, this is exactly what the White House wants. That if you look at all the money that Obama took from the healthcare industry, all these secret deals cutting with the drug companies, you look at all the money he took from Wall Street, that what we've got now, a weak Senate bill that simply gives away a huge amount of cash to the drug and insurance companies, massive bailouts to Wall Street, this is exactly what Obama actually wants. I think there's now more than ever something to that if he's not willing to pick a fight with the real obstructors in this Congress, which is the corporate conservative Democrats. Hey, Alvin, thanks for the call. Chuck in Denver. Chuck, you're on AM760.
Hey, Dave, how's it going?
All right, man.
Hey, what I was kind of looking at, and by the way, I agree with everything you've been saying about, you know, Obama needing to stand up to those conservative Democrats. But I think what he's trying to do in an attempt to also pull the independents in and to get them back on board is he's trying to use the fight with the Republican to give the Democrats a common enemy, so that the Democrats will will align themselves against Republicans.
I think there's something to that. And look, I want to be clear. I think that his putting the Republicans on the spot and saying, come to this, you know, televised healthcare meeting. He did the meeting with the House Republicans. I think that was a good step in the sense that I think it draws the Republicans out, right? It exposes them as having no ideas. And that's exactly what he wants to do, right? I think he's got two things that he's got to do. He's got to expose the Republican Party politically as a party that doesn't have any alternatives, a party that seems to be betting its future on just, you know, the Waterloo idea that Senator Jim DeMint said, you know, we'll just stop everything Obama does, and that's how we'll win power. So he's got to expose them. He's got to expose that. But he's also got to have that fight with the Joe Liebermans and the Ben Nelsons. And I'm telling you, it is really my belief that if he doesn't have that fight, no matter how well he wages a political fight, a public political fight against the Republicans, the final legislation that we need passed on all these issues is just not going to get through. Because he's not saying to the Ben Nelsons and the Joe Liebermans and the Evan Bay, there is a political price for you if you continue to cause problems.
Yeah, and I agree with that, but I also agree that there's a much larger side to this that you brought up earlier, and that is Republicans are getting a free ride. And by that I mean they're getting their ideas in the legislation, but yet they spend all their time being against the legislation.
That's such a good point, man. You know, and I should mention, that's happening on the stimulus, too, right? And Obama called them out and he said, you know, you guys campaign against the stimulus bill, and then you go home and you do ribbon-cutting ceremonies for stimulus projects. You're exactly right, Chuck. The Republicans are having their cake and eating it, too. And it's a real problem. But I really believe this, man. There's two problems here, but I really believe fundamentally the way for Obama to break that is if he passes real legislation that he campaigned on, he destroys the Republican formula. But the only way to do that is to go after the obstructors, the real obstructors, who are the conservative corporate Democrats. And I know you're not disagreeing with me. Hey, thanks for the call. 38 after the hour here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Up next, we'll take some more of your calls and we'll fill you in also. Some great news out of New Mexico, an update on the story about New Mexico's effort to move its own public money out of the too-big-to-fail banks, to give a big middle finger to those too-big-to-fail banks. Fill you in on that after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, Dave. Traffic is starting to loosen up for us as we're wrapping up this Wednesday morning commute. Stop and go, heading towards Boulder on the turnpike, McCaslin to Baseline, eastbounders. Really no struggles now, maybe a little bit in Westminster, Sheridan to Federal. But speeds are starting to pop up there. Still heavy on the C-470 portion westbound side between Quincy and Morrison Road. Eastbound side between Broadway and I-25. Also looking at jams on 225 and Aurora, both directions beginning at Parker Road. Two crashes, eastbound I-70 at the Central City exit and one on the ramp to northbound 225 from Tamarack. Forecast today, sunny skies, light winds, high of around 42 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny with light winds and a high of 45. Right now, 21 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Papa John's was excited to be in the house for Super Bowl 44, so they've cooked up toppings for touchdowns. For every touchdown the Saints scored, they're giving you a free topping on a $9 large cheese pizza. See PapaJohns.com for details. Papa John's, a proud sponsor of Super Bowl 44.
AM 7.
This is former State Representative Gwen Green, the fighting granny. I'm fighting mad that the Supreme Court opened the floodgates to corporate money. I'm joining Be the Change USA Saturday, February 13 at a special event with David Sirota, Mike Miles, Andrew Romanoff, and state legislators. Go to btc-usa.org for details. That's btc-usa.org.
I've got a 1040, not so easy, it makes no sense to me. A W-2, 1099, so many forms, so little time. Federal, state, FICA, they take my money, who the heck are they? The paperwork is such a mess, will I owe the IRS? Somebody help me.
eFile.com is here to help you. Prepare and e-file your taxes now at eFile.com. Start with the free federal edition. Faster refunds at eFile.com.
Hey, guys, Valentine's Day is coming fast. Pro Flowers is offering one dozen roses starting at just $19.99. That's $19.99 for one dozen roses with a 7-day freshness guarantee. Plus, get a free glass vase when you order today. Where else can you find Valentine's roses for just $19.99? To guarantee delivery by Valentine's Day, click on the Pro Flowers ad showing now. Or visit ProFlowers.com. Click on the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner and enter password HOT19. That's ProFlowers.com, radio microphone, password HOT19. Order now.
I hate when I see people discriminated against, even if I don't agree with them. Demeaning people is just wrong. You'd think public universities that are supposed to be a marketplace of ideas would be the one place where that wouldn't happen. But it does, every day.
Christian students are bearing the brunt of this injustice. If you're a Christian and have experienced discrimination, intimidation, or exclusion on campus because of your beliefs, contact speakupmovement.org or text speakup to 411-247.
10, 9, 8. As this year gets underway, stop making resolutions that don't work and start losing weight.
Join Weight Watchers for free right now. Weight Watchers breaks weight loss down into achievable steps so you can start off right, learn to lose weight, and keep it off. Call 1-800-START-NOW or visit WeightWatchers.com and join for free today. Weight Watchers. Stop dieting. Start living. Registration fee waived. Must pay meetings fees. Valid in participating areas only. Hurry, offer ends March 13th.
105 years? Go easy, boy. Settle in with a good fixed and don't risk it. But if you're positive, absolutely positive, that you won't be in your house more than 5 years, you need to consider this thing. Whether you're buying a house or refinancing, don't blow thousands of dollars in savings because of what might happen 5 years from now when you've already moved. It's the biggest no-brainer in the history of Earth. Call Lennox Financial, 720-889-9400. That's Lennox Financial, 720-889-9400.
This is former State Representative Gwen Green, the Fightin' Granny. I'm fightin' mad that the Supreme Court opened the floodgates to corporate money. I'm joining Be the Change USA Saturday, February 13 at a special event with David Sirota, Mike Miles, Andrew Romanoff, and state legislators. Go to btc-usa.org for details. That's btc-usa.org.
.843 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's my computer says 18 degrees out there. It's pretty cold this morning, but it is at least a sunny day. Now, I feel like we haven't gotten as much sun this winter, or at least of late, that we usually get. Do you feel that way, Turk?
I don't know, man. It's been really dry, man. January was an odd month.
It has really been dry.
You know, I'm used to more snow in January. I don't think we got an inch of precipitation total in the month of January.
Yeah, well, speaking of which, watch what's going on up in Vancouver. You know, they're flying in all that snow because they don't have enough snow
for the Olympics.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. There's no such thing as climate change, though.
Yeah, of course. Of course there's no such thing. We're saying that in jest, folks. We're saying that in jest. We're making fun.
That's the right course. I definitely believe there's such thing as climate change.
Just want to be clear. We're getting a lot of instant messages who will, like, say, I can't believe you said there's no such thing as climate change. Of course there's such thing as climate change. We're being facetious. I want to fill you in before we get to back to the phones. New Mexico House passes that bank bill we discussed a couple weeks ago. The clash between banks and credit unions over public fund deposits took an unorthodox twist, with community banks in New Mexico and credit unions teaming up to pass 65-0 in the New Mexico legislature, in the House, a milestone bill. The bill enables up to $5 billion in state funds to be moved from the too-big-to-fail banks and put into local credit unions and small banks. So we talked about the Move Your Money campaign. And by the way, I've moved my money. My money is moved. I did it. We filled it all out. We moved our money out of the too-big-to-fail banks. I don't want my money underwriting, lobbying against Wall Street reform. And now we've got a state government right to the south of us doing exactly the same. Kudos to New Mexico. Really. It's a big deal that states are trying to join this fight against the too-big-to-fail Wall Street banks. I mean, really, public funds should be going to underwrite the lobbying efforts of Wall Street lobbyists against Wall Street reform instead of putting that public money, the state reserves, into locally owned banks and credit unions? Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Also ridiculous, I think, is President Obama continuing to tell the American people that the real problem in Congress right now is only the Republicans. He continues to say this. And I think that, look, I think the Republicans are a huge problem, right? But the real problem is you cannot argue that the Republican Party is the only problem in a Congress where Democrats have historically huge margins of majority. It is absolutely mathematically ridiculous. Now, I understand that the Republicans are abusing the filibuster. They're grossly abusing the filibuster. But even with that, the Democrats can use reconciliation right now if they choose. They continue to choose not to. And President Obama refuses to put the pressure on the Liebermans of the world, the Ben Nelsons of the world, the Evan Bys of the world. And I just think, how many times does it take for this party, the Democratic Party, and this president to learn that the problem is within his own party? Because if he keeps
trying to say that the Republicans are the key to this thing. He keeps empowering them to embarrass him.
You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you...
That's exactly what is happening to Obama. The Republicans are loving every minute of this, and I think only until the president realizes this and puts the pressure on his own party are we going to see the end of this legislative logjam. What do you think? 303-713-7600. We'll go to Russ in Littleton. Russ, you're on AM760.
Hey, David. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, man.
Well, when I first started out, I wanted to point out, I think that a lot of the Democratic Party is thinking about this kind of in the wrong way. It's not that we have, the Democrats have this historically large majority in the legislature. It's that there is a real majority that's hidden from us, and that is basically a crypto-fascist party. And what I mean by that is we've all seen that basically 100% of the Republicans are in the hip pockets of giant corporations.
Absolutely agreed.
And the part of the problem is that about half, not quite, but about half of the Democrats are in the hip pockets of giant corporations.
Russ, I wish I could just say, if I can just say amen, because I wrote an article years ago where I said the real problem is the two parties in Washington are not the Democrats or the Republicans. You got the money party, and then you got the people party. And the money party is basically the entire Republican Party and about a third to a half of the Democratic Party, and the People Party is about the remaining half or third of the Democratic Party. That's absolutely true.
Hey, one last thing, if I could. I want to add to what you're saying. First of all, I tend to worry that Barack Obama isn't actually as liberal as we'd like for him to be. So that's part of, I think, the reason why he's not taking on some of these interests. But the second thing I wanted to say is, you know, it's great that you know, we would like for him to do that, to have that battle. But you know what? Honestly, ultimately, I think it falls on the shoulders of Americans. What we need to do is we need to check the voting records on every single Democrat for this year. And any one of them that didn't vote for health care, and especially Joe Lieberman, we need to have the Democratic Party go after them, primary in every single one.
Well, I can't disagree with you on that point. And the most disturbing thing I've read on that score in the last week was that the FEC reports came out that the DNC, the Democratic Party, its money went to fund a $460,000 ad defending Ben Nelson for voting against the public option. So you see this fight inside the Democratic Party. It's real, and we have to be vigilant about it. The one thing I would say about Obama, you said Obama's not, you know, maybe one of the reasons why he's not fulfilling or taking on interest is because he's not as liberal as you think he is. Well, if he's not, I'm only holding him to what they call liberal conservative. I don't care what you call it. I want us to hold him to his campaign promises, right? And whether his campaign promises were liberal or conservative, he got elected with 53% of the vote, a huge mandate on that campaign platform. And so when he doesn't take on his own party on an issue like a core issue like the public option, whether it's because he's not liberal or not conservative, whatever you want to call it, it's just not being true to his campaign promises. To us, to me as a voter, and to you as a voter. Hey, thanks for the call, man. Sue on I-76. Hey, Sue, how you doing?
Hi, fine. Several years ago, I worked for the governor of Illinois, and then I also worked in his budget office. And I remember one year there was a session that came up, and there was a big debate. It was, you know, a very much a drama on kind of like what we have with health care. It went on for 3 months. At the very end, a bunch of people went into the room. They came out and said, okay, we've got it all solved now. And the information that I had gotten back was that they had cut this deal in January, and the rest was all show. And I guess what I'm starting to feel and be sickened by is I'm beginning to think that this is our President Obama is doing the exact same thing, that they've already decided how this is going to go. It's been backroomed.
You're with Russ Feingold. That's what Russ Feingold said a couple months ago. He said this is exactly the way the White House wants things to go.
Yeah.
They want to have the fight is for show, and the fix is already in. And you know what, Sue? I can't blame you for coming to that conclusion. I'm not sure it's that calculated, but I'm also fairly sure, I think I can be fairly sure that the fix has been in, maybe not right from the beginning, but certainly of late the fix has been in. This is a White House that doesn't seem to want to take on entrenched power. And I think that's the real problem here. And I think the more we flag it, the more we say, hey, we know what's going on, I think the better hope we have of actually getting them to do at least something. Hey, thanks for the call. Drive safely out there. 852 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Up next, I know we got a couple of you holding. We'll take your calls. Also fill you in on this question. USA Today seems to insist that $225,000 a year in income is not a lot of money. When are these people going to join the real world? All that after a traffic update with John Turk.
Dave, I got a new crash northbound I-25 after Surrey Ridge. That makes it tough getting out of Castle Rock right now. Going to hit those jams, which are stop and go, beginning at Castle Pines Parkway. Also working a crash eastbound I-70 at the Central City exit, and one on the ramp to northbound 225 from Tamarack. Both those in the cleanup phase. Stop and go going towards Boulder on the turnpike westbound side between McCaslin and Baseline. Also have a new crash at Spear and Zuni. Your forecast today, sunny skies, light winds, a high around 42 degrees. Right now it's 21 in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Right now at Freeway Ford, get a brand new Focus or Ranger for just $12,900. Two great vehicles, one incredible price. After rebates, drive home an 010 Focus or Ranger for just $12,900. Only at Todd Helton's Ford team. Freeway Ford, I-25 in Evans, Longmont Ford, 3rd and Alpine, or cheaperfords.com.
What? Peter Baruch, Senior Compliance Director for the Business Software Alliance.
Your boss wouldn't walk into a store and steal software off the shelf, but your boss may order you or another employee to copy software illegally. Either way, it's stealing. Report software piracy. It's the right thing to do.
Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $1 million. Visit www.nopiracy.com. Otherwise, call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. Also, you can use Bing or Google and simply input BS.
Hi, this is Mario for Mike Turner and Scott Henderson, proud supporters of AM 760. Mike and Scott are personal injury lawyers who've supported this station since the beginning. They represent people, not corporations pretending to be people. The law firm of Mike Turner and Scott Henderson. Call 303-300-1600 for a free consult. They support AM 760 listeners. Progressive attorneys for progressive people. Mike Turner and Scott Henderson.
Hi, this is Tom Harbin. Pianos and Pianos, a proud supporter of AM 760, is offering piano lessons for only $19 each. Their state-of-the-art facilities offer grand and vertical pianos, teaching you the joy of playing, as well as learning to write your own music with the latest computer technology. Play all styles, including classical, new age, contemporary, gospel, and more. Just $19. Yes, that's only $19. Only at Pianos and Pianos. Call 303-933-9390. That's 303-933-9390.
Right in 1/2 mile.
I'm not great with directions.
Turn right now.
But now my GPS gets me wherever I need to go. TurboTax lets me do my taxes the same way. It guides me step by step through my return, searching for every deduction I deserve and helping me arrive at my maximum refund. Guaranteed. No wonder it's the most trusted tax software in America.
See for yourself at TurboTax.com. Choose easy. Money back guarantee details at TurboTax.com. Trusted brand claim based on survey July 2009.
To feel like a king or a queen in their own castle, and every castle should have a royal throne. Hi, I'm Kent Whipple with Whipple Service Champions Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Your commode can be the best seat in your house. We have a spectacular toilet that is more accommodating and comfortable with its elongated design, larger diameter, fully glazed waterway, and larger flushing capacity. It will flush a 2-inch tennis ball, and it won't plug up for 5 years, or we'll unplug it for free. Normally $679, but because of a special purchase, while supplies last, we'll furnish and install this royal throne for just $299, and that includes everything. You get our clean cut, professionally trained, drug-free, certified safe technicians who won't swear, smoke, or leave a mess in your house. I am Kent Whipple, and I do personally guarantee your 100% satisfaction, or you don't pay. Call 877-WHIPPLE. That's 877-WHIPPLE. Because when you call today, we come today.
If you're a man who wants to feel calm and have the longest, most powerful sexual experiences possible, the time has come. Hi, I'm Dr. Richard Sandor, and I want to tell you about the revolutionary herbal supplement for male enhancement, Zencor Plus. Zencor Plus will work for you. Zencore Plus performs the first time and every time, guaranteed. Just take Zencore 45 minutes before sexual activity and you'll experience powerful results. In fact, we are so sure you'll love Zencore's tremendous results that we want to send you a free sample so you can try Zencore for yourself. Once you try it, there's no doubt that you will become one of Zencore's thousands of satisfied customers.
Find out how to get your free supply of Zencore before it's too late. Call 1-800-685-1986. That's 1-800-685-1986. Size does matter. Don't miss out on your free supply. 1-800-685-1986. That's 1-800-685-1986.
Hey, 57 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Is $225,000 a year a lot of money? Or is it so money that you need a tax credit? USA Today and its story today, it's just incredible. I mean, we heard last week the CNN saying that, though, you know, some people say $250,000 a year is middle class. Now USA Today saying in a story about a potential new home buyer tax credit, the paper complaining that many potential buyers in higher priced markets like New York, Boston, Hawaii, San Francisco won't qualify for a new tax break because their incomes are too high under the income limit. Households with incomes up to $225,000 qualify for the full tax credit. Here's the smallest violin in the world for people making over $225,000 a year. Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Bob and Parker. Bob, you're on AM 760.
Well, good morning, David. I know you don't have much time, so I'll be quick. I'm stumped by this 60-vote mandatory vote, it seems like, anymore in the Senate. Could you just take a minute and describe what the practical effect would be, what it would look like from the inside and from the outside if the filibuster bluff was called and they throw something up there and let the GOP filibuster it and then do it again?
Sure. Here's what would happen. You have to have, I mean, the rule in the 70s that changed was it allowed people to filibuster without actually standing up on the floor. As I understand it, the majority leader can actually decide, hey, we're going to force a filibuster to make the Republicans actually stand up and filibuster. They haven't even done that, and that's a really good question, a really good point. They should at least make them do that. All right, stick around. More on this and Stream Access in Colorado next.
I hate when I see people discriminated against, even if I don't agree with them. Demeaning people is just wrong. You'd think public universities that are supposed to be a marketplace of ideas would be the one place where that wouldn't happen. But it does, every day.
Christian students are bearing the brunt of this injustice. If you're a Christian and have experienced discrimination, intimidation, or exclusion on campus because of your beliefs, contact speakupmovement.org or text speakup to 411-247.
Changing the way America buys windows. That's Windows America. No games, no gimmicks. Just a great window at a great price. Visit Windows America at the Colorado Garden and Home Show at the Colorado Convention Center February 13th through the 21st and get their home show special. Triple pane windows installed for only $349. Click on the banner ad right now, located on your Listen Live player, or visit WindowsAM.com. A proud member of Tom Martino's Troubleshooter Network, Windows America, a better way to buy windows.
With 4 to 8 inches expected.
The storm has ground flights and closed schools. For the Mid-Atlantic region, it's round two after last weekend's big storm.
I'm Peter Mayer in Fairfax, Virginia, and this is the sound of things going from bad to worse. High winds and blowing snow have caused whiteout conditions in much of the D.C. area. Police have issued a three-word warning, no unnecessary driving. Road crews have a new problem. Where to put all the snow as another foot or so falls on top of the 30 inches already on the ground.
In the canyons outside Los Angeles, hundreds of residents who left their homes are hoping to go back, but it all depends on the mud.
There's a portion of the street at the bottom of the hill that's got a layer of mud on it. And, of course, the ground is very saturated here, very saturated. That's why they're concerned. They say there's a mudslide risk that goes on for 72 hours, even after the rain stops.
It's John Baird of KNX Radio. American Airlines could face a $10 million federal fine for safety violations as officials wrap up a two-year investigation. At the same time, the Transportation Department's Inspector General is expected to criticize the FAA for being too lax with oversight. Former Inspector General Mary Schiavo.
We really need to consider whether it's time to re-regulate to help the airlines and, most importantly, the safety of the American public out of this wasteland that the airlines find themselves in.
Scientists believe more and more of us are at risk from the practice of feeding low levels of antibiotics to healthy livestock. CBS's Katie Couric with an exclusive Evening News investigation.
Drug-resistant infections have skyrocketed over the past two decades, killing an estimated 70,000 Americans last year alone. It's an emerging health crisis that scientists say is caused not only by the overuse of antibiotics in humans, but in livestock as well.
A new survey finds retail sales figures in January were 3.6% higher than January of 2009.
Probably the consumer is starting to spend a little bit more, be a little bit more comfortable. It doesn't hurt that maybe the employment market has leveled off a little.
Kamalesh Rao is Director of Economic Research at MasterCard. Fed Chairman Bernanke is starting to outline the strategy for getting a handle on stimulus money once the economy is on more sound footing. He says the Fed could raise interest rates later this year. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 55 points. This is CBS News.
I'm a pediatric nurse in a hospital, so I know firsthand how hard it can be to try and take a sick kid's temperature. They're tired and scared, they're squirmy and fussy. Getting an accurate read used to be a major undertaking, but not anymore. Now we use the Exergen temporal scanner thermometer. Just one quick swipe across the forehead and you get an accurate temperature. More accurate than an ear, and as accurate as a rectal thermometer. And the best part, you can even use it while the kids are sleeping.
The Exergen temporal scanner, changing the way the world takes temperature. Home model available at Walgreens and other fine retailers. Blurriness, wavy lines, blind spot, these are all symptoms of a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, also known as wet AMD. It can develop quickly and it's a leading cause of blindness in people 60 and older. Learn about your risk factors and find out how a retina specialist can help. Just visit amdawareness.org. And if you aren't seeing clearly, get checked now. Knowing the symptoms may save your sight. Learn more at amdawareness.org today. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
I'm Pat Woodard with an AM 760 local news update. Investigators are still piecing together more clues into what caused two planes to crash over Boulder on Saturday, killing three people. Federal investigators are reconstructing the planes in a Greeley hangar. Evidence backs up their original belief that the planes struck each other at a right angle. The FAA's Jennifer Rohde tells our partners at 9 News the debris indicates just how lucky the survivors and the glider really were.
It can be characterized by some as a miracle that the three survived the accident sequence and they were able to provide their first-hand account of that impact sequence.
Final report on the crash might not be released until the end of the year. We're only a couple of days now from the opening ceremonies of the Winter Olympics in Vancouver, and one of Colorado's Olympic hopefuls could be on the sidelines. Vail skier Lindsey Vonn tells the Today Show that a shin injury could keep her from competing in some of the events she's currently scheduled for. Vonn is the most successful female skier in U.S. history in World Cup competition. In sports, Carmelo Anthony scored 19 points in his return from an ankle injury. The Denver Nuggets have their most lopsided win of the season last night, beating the Dallas Mavericks. Final was 127-91. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News update. I'm Pat Woodard. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where you'll want to keep your eyes peeled for some debris in the road, northbound I-25 near University. Westbounders on 36, still struggling a bit on that approach to Flatiron. Off the highways, we've got an accident at Spear and Zuni. And to the south of the metro area, northbound I-25, still struggling a bit as you're making your way out of Castle Rock following an earlier accident that occurred right around Surrey Ridge. Quick check on today's forecast. We can expect sunny skies, high of about 42 degrees, clear in the overnight, low dropping down to 19. Currently, it's 20 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Winter driving, it's just not normal. When there's ice and snow, take it slow. Along with slippery streets and highways, huge snow plows are often out there trying to keep the roads clear. Snow plows are large and powerful, maneuver slowly and plow far and wide, very wide. Slow down when approaching a snow plow. They're likely traveling slower than the posted speed limit. Also, don't tailgate or stop too close behind because they frequently back up, especially at intersections. A snowplow driver's view is restricted, so never assume that the driver sees you. Plows can also throw up a cloud of snow that can cause whiteout conditions and reduce visibility to zero, so use extreme caution when passing. In fact, the road behind a plow will be safer for you to drive on. If you do pass, watch out for plow blades. They're not only on the front of the plow, but a wing plow may project from the side of the truck. Best advice, ice and snow. Take it slow, especially around snowplows.
This message has been brought to you by the Colorado Department of Transportation.
Now, this is the place I was telling you about. It's real f***ed up.
Yeah, this is a real messed up story I'm about to tell you about. It's a story about who owns and who does not own Colorado's waterways. This is a question that the legislature is now struggling with, is now confronting. Who owns our rivers and streams? Now, we're not talking about water rights here. Water rights is who has the right to take how much water out of a given stream or a given body of water in Colorado. We're actually talking about who owns the right to float on the water itself. The headline in the Denver Post, this was over the weekend, navigation rights make a splash in landowners' skirmishes with river rafters. Essentially what's going on is that a Texas developer and two river rafting outfits on the Taylor River are having a big fight. The river rafting company says, hey, if a private landowner owns land on both sides of a stretch of a river, that doesn't mean they own the river itself. We're allowed to float through. That's what the rafting outfitters are saying. The out-of-state big landowner, the Texas developer, says no way. They say, quote, the public has no right to float through private property without the consent of the private landowner. They say that's the law. You can't change that, he says, without paying just compensation. So this is the question. Who owns the river? Who owns the riverbed? That's really the question. And let me give you some history on this. I moved down to Colorado 3 years ago. I moved down from a state that is more conservative, politically conservative, than Colorado in a lot of ways. In some ways, not. I moved from Montana. So I didn't move from some, you know, super liberal place. And in Montana, they have what's known as the Stream Access Law. The Stream Access Law effectively says that the public owns the riverbed, and that any member of the public is allowed to be on the water between the high water mark. The high water mark being, of course, where, you know, the highest level where the water rises, that the riverbed is the high water mark on each side, and that the public has a fundamental right to be on the river no matter who owns the land on either side of the river. Doesn't mean you're allowed to get out of your boat and walk up onto that land. It only means you have a right to be within the high water mark on the riverbed, on the river. It's called the Stream Access Law. So, of course, what this does is, this says that somebody can't, some out-of-state dude from Texas, some zillionaire, can't waltz into your state, buy two sides of a river, and shut down fishing on that river, shut down rafting on that river. It says that streams, that the access to streams, and again, we're not talking about the right to take water out of the river for agriculture. That's a separate issue. Simply the right to be on the river is a public right. And now we're going to have that debate here in Colorado, because we've got out-of-state landowners, private landowners, who are saying no, that a river can effectively be privately owned. Where do you come down on this? 303-713-7600. 303-713-7600. Can a river be privately owned? Should we in Colorado allow them to be privately owned? Or do we as citizens here, should we as citizens here, have a fundamental right to be on that body of water? Now, what's really interesting about this is that obviously, we've set up in this state, in this country, the idea of private land ownership. But to my mind, it's not nearly as fundamental or inherent a concept to privatize access to a body of water, right? I mean, you have in some states, you got private beaches, right? The beach itself is private, but you can be a boater and you can be on the water right next to that beach, right? In Greenwich, Connecticut, they got, you know, one of the richest places in the world. They got private beaches, but you can get a rowboat out and row out and hang out on the water right in front of that beach. That body of water, that area of water, hasn't been privatized. So the question is, what kind of rights do we need to be asserting in state law here about whether or not private landowners can lay claim to privately owning a waterway just for access to it? Now, here's some good news, because this is where I am for a stream access law. And here's some good news. Lawmakers took their first shot late on Monday, at setting the long-standing dispute over rafts passing private property when they passed out of committee in the legislature a bill to give commercial outfitters the right to float on rivers without the fear of being sued by landowners for trespassing. It was a bipartisan 7-3 vote that sent this bill to the full House. Now, I actually have a problem with this bill. Why are you saying it's only okay that commercial rafting outfitters can go on the stream? It should be citizens, right? Why are you saying that only commercial rafting outfitters have a right, have a stream access right, and not just the individual? And that's the beauty of the Montana law. I mean, really, I'm a fly fishing guy. I mean, I'm not a great fly fishing fisherman, but I've done my share of fly fishing. And the great thing about being up in Montana with the stream access law is that anywhere a public road, I mean, you can't walk across private land to get to a river, but anywhere a public road hits a waterway, you can walk down. And the state law guarantees you that you have a legal right of access to that waterway. It really is a great thing for tourism up there, much less the public interest. It really says inherently that this natural resource is all of ours, and that people cannot privatize this natural resource. That's where I come down. And I think these private landowners who are saying no, they are the greediest SOBs out there. They really are. You got to be a greedy SOB to try to lay a private ownership claim just to access our beautiful creeks and streams and rivers here in Colorado. What do you think? 303-713-7600 is the number. 303-713-7600. We'll go to the phones. Let's go to Francis in Denver. Francis, you're on AM 760.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
I agree with you that the waterways is a waterway like a highway. It's all public access. If there was an emergency and that was the only way that you had to get it, would you have to stop and go ask the landowner, hey, there's an emergency down there. This is the only way we can get there. Can we have permission to get there? Texas needs to do whatever they want to do in Texas. This is Colorado. We're in the regular part of America where people have rights and they're not all taken away by corporate people who have lots and lots of money and can just push their way around. The waterway is something that we should all be taking care of, whether we use it for recreation, drinking, fishing, or just to look at. It is the public, it's public domain, and I agree with you, and that's what I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's gross, the idea that, like, some rich fat cat from out of state can walk in here, buy a bunch of land, and say, hey, this piece of the river is only mine. Right? I mean, we already allow that for land. But for a river, right, where you can travel through, it takes it one step, maybe many steps. It takes the issue of ownership many steps too far. That's what I think, and I agree with you. Let's go to Ed in Fort Collins. Ed, you're on AM 760.
Hello?
Hey, Ed.
Hi. Actually, I own
part of the Napoota River in Fort Collins. And the reality is you own property underneath the river.
Well, I understand that's the reality in state law. Well, some people would could call that into contention, but let's say you're right. Let's say the law does give you that. The question is whether that's right or wrong. I don't. I think it's wrong.
You were making the point. I agree with your point about rafters. It has full access to the river, but I dealt with fly fishermen or fishermen per se. Sorry, I was logging. That they would have access to walk on your river
on the high water mark, right?
Or even on the bed. But on the other side of the coin, so what I'm saying is, I own half the river bed, and then the neighbor across the way owns the other half, and that's private. But rafters and tubers and everybody else are still welcome to do that, and they're still allowed to do that by state law.
They're allowed to raft through?
Yeah, they're allowed to raft through, but they're not allowed to get out and...
they're not allowed to touch the riverbed.
Right.
Yeah. And what I'm saying is there's two issues here. One, clearly the state law is gray on whether they're allowed to raft through because there's this legislative debate about protecting or preventing or clarifying the law on that. But I think there's a fundamental question here about whether private landowners should be allowed to own the riverbed. Because in Montana, it works beautifully. Right now, I mean, you have a burgeoning and a really important fly fishing and tourism industry because of that. And look, there are landowners up there who hate the stream access law. But the point here is it's the fundamental principle of, is it really okay for private landowners to own something as fundamentally public and as fundamentally all of ours as our rivers or as pieces of our rivers? I think it's not okay. I really do. I mean, I think private property, I get it. I get the value of that in a free and civilized society, private land, but to own a piece of something as rare and something as obviously valuable and something I think as inherently public as a river, I just think there's something wrong with that.
Well, again, I'll make the point that I disagree with that part of it, but I do agree with the.
Why do you disagree with that part of it?
Well, I paid a lot of money for this property, so.
I know you paid a lot of money for it, but my question is, who was right? Whose right was it to sell you that, right? That riverbed, right? Originally, that's my point.
Well, it went back. You know, it's gone back 150 years as far as when the ownership of that property was given.
Why would it? Ask you another question. Why would it bother you so much? Somebody fly fishing on a piece of the river that you say you own.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reality is because my house is 8 feet away, and it's not the fly fishermen I'm concerned about, but are the bait fishermen, the spin cast fishermen that intrude or trespass, and then they come in and actually kill fish, and that's I'm trying to do a nice fishery there, and fly fishermen I don't have any problems with, but it is the other ones, and it's hard to differentiate as far as what you're going to do. So it's private property.
And all right. Fair enough, Ed. You and I can disagree. Hey, thanks for the call, man.
All right, you bet.
All right. 920 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Do you think private landowners should be able to block access to pieces of rivers where they own property on both sides of it? 303-713-7600. Again, 303-713-7600. We'll get to more of your calls. We're getting a bunch of your emails. Obviously a hot topic. Up next, I'll also fill you in on this wild horse roundup here in Colorado. And, yes, the ongoing story of Colorado Springs. The city council votes, big shock, the Family Values Center of the Universe, supposedly. City council down there votes to, again, crack down on the homeless. We'll fill you in on that. We'll get back to your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, David. Traffic is really kind of loosened up for us. Did clean up that accident northbound I-25 around Surrey Ridge, but still seeing some heavy jams from Happy Canyon all the way up to Lincoln. Also heavy going stop-and-go traffic, actually, westbound Turnpike between Flatiron Circle and Baseline. Also got this crash near downtown at Spear and Zuni. in the high country, things are looking pretty dry for us on I-70, maybe some patches of ice on Loveland Pass. The forecast today, sunny skies, light breeze, highs in the low 40s. We should stay dry through at least Sunday. Tomorrow, sunny with light winds and a high of 45. Right now, 26 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
There is never a good time for your sewer line to plug up. Declare war on that blockage. Drain Solvers provides top quality drain cleaning and router services and will break through any blockage. Let Drain Solvers camera your sewer pipe for only $79 and clean your drain for $99. Mention this special when you call. Drain Solvers, the trenchless pipe repair specialists. Drain Solvers does whatever it takes to solve your plumbing problem. Call 303-423-1000. That's 303-423-1000. Or drainsolvers.com. Access fees may apply.
Valentine's Day is coming fast. ProFlowers.com has an amazing deal just for online listeners. ProFlowers is offering Valentine's Day bouquets starting at just $19.99. Plus, get a free glass vase and our 100% freshness guarantee when you order today. That's a great deal. To ensure delivery by Valentine's Day, click on the ProFlowers ad showing now. Or visit ProFlowers.com. Click on the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner and enter the password HOT19. That's ProFlowers.com, radio microphone password HOT19.
Join Weight Watchers for free right now. Learn how to handle the big game. And hungry cheering you on to inhale all the cheesy puffs. Learn how to master parties, lose weight, and keep it off. Join for free today and you win. Hungry loses. Call 1-800-START-NOW or visit WeightWatchers.com. Weight Watchers. Stop dieting. Start living. Registration fee waived. Must pay meetings fees. Valid in participating areas only. Hurry, offer ends March.
Michael Haas is senior program manager of Medtronic in Louisville and a graduate of the CU Executive MBA program.
I was trained as an engineer and enrolled in the CU Executive MBA program because I knew I needed to transform my skill set. I knew people who had graduated from the program and their careers took off. Now I know why. The faculty and staff are top-notch and the whole experience exceeded my expectations.
Go to colorado.edu/executive MBA or call 303-623-1888. That's 623-1888.
923 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. That's a pretty nice day out there. A little cold. It's 23 degrees right now. Going up to the 40s. Snow in the forecast over the weekend, although it doesn't look cold enough, at least in the forecast, that it looks like it's going to stick, but snow may come down. A couple of local stories I want to fill you in on. Wild horse roundup delays viewed as a victory by protesters. This is off the AP wire out here in the region. Federal land managers said Monday they'll delay a roundup of most of the nearly 600 wild horses in a range in eastern Nevada, at least until after the herd's spring foaling season. Advocates fighting to stop Mustang roundups in the West said they think their threat to file a lawsuit stopped the U.S. Bureau of Land Management from beginning a roundup next week of almost 500 wild horses in the Eagle Herd Management area. So that fight continues out here out West. And then down to Colorado Springs, the place where whose one-third of its economy relies on the hugest of huge government, the military. Meanwhile, its political leadership insists that they're all about limited government, and that Colorado Springs is this great bastion of small government. Well, they also claim that they're a bastion of family values. And here's how compassionate they are down in the Springs. This is from the Gazette. Despite pleas from nearly two dozen people to axe or postpone action on an ordinance to prohibit camping on public property, the Colorado Springs City Council voted 8-1 Tuesday to approve it. And this is seen as a shot in the face of these tent cities now burgeoning in Colorado Springs, tent cities of newly homeless people. So Colorado Springs telling the homeless, giving them the big middle finger. Yes, can you feel the family values? Oh, so warm and fuzzy, isn't it? God, that city council really is such a huge problem down there. We're talking about stream access in Colorado here. I told you, I moved down here from Montana where they had a stream access law. They still have a stream access law, which gives citizens the fundamental right to float down rivers and to fish on rivers, basically saying that the riverbed itself cannot be privately owned. And here in Colorado, according to the Denver Post and in the legislature, there is a quickly simmering fight between out-of-state landowners who come into the state and buy both sides of a given river, and then use the threat of lawsuits to try to block people from floating down those rivers on rafting trips and fishing those rivers, because they say they own that piece of the river. The legislature is looking to get involved. It just passed out of a House committee a bill that would say that commercial rafting companies would have a right to float down these contested sections of rivers. Now, I got two problems with this. The first problem is, I think in general, there shouldn't be an ability to own a piece of a river. The river is all of ours. Right? We have land ownership in this state and in this country, but to privately own a piece of river, I just think is way too much. It is a public resource, and I think we should be like Montana. We should have a fundamental right to stream access, not to trample over private property to get to the stream. But in Montana, anywhere a road hits a stream, you, as a member of the public, are allowed to get onto that stream, and you are allowed to float through private property because the stream is public. Secondly, I got a problem with the bill in the legislature specifically. I'm glad the legislature is looking to clarify this. But I got a problem with them seeming to give rights to commercial rafting companies that aren't being given to individuals. Why should a commercial rafting company have a special right to float through private property, but not if Dave Sirota goes out and buys a boat and floats down there? What's that about? 303-713-7600. Where do you come down on this? 303-713-7600. Let's go to Stuart in Denver. Stuart, you're on AM760.
Hi, David.
Hey there.
Hey, you know, a roadway is not fundamentally different from a waterway. And if some guy from Texas comes up and buys land on either side of I-25, does he then have a right to claim that people can't come through the roadway through his private property?
That's a great analogy, man. That's exactly right.
Well, it's not even an analogy, really. I mean, they're not fundamentally different. And so, you know, once you set that precedent, what would stop someone from saying, okay, now, you know, I'm going to put up a toll gate, and if you want to come through this public roadway that comes through my land, you have to stop and pay me a toll.
Yeah, well, you know, we heard from an earlier caller, Ed. He said, and I agree that there's something to be said for this, which is that what do you do about landowners who bought their property under the premise that they would own a certain section of that riverbed? And what do you do about those people? I mean, there's an eminent domain question there. Should they be compensated? How do you deal with that? I mean, I think there's something fundamental. I agree with you. I think there's something fundamentally wrong with the fact that it was ever sold that way in the first place. But what do you do moving forward?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. I guess my question would be, can you convey to something to someone that you don't own to begin with? I mean, if it's a public resource,
right,
how can an individual own and convey that for money to someone else?
Yeah, and that's what I said to Ed. And you know, when I hear about, you know, eminent domain, right? Because this is a very hot button issue. You know, should the government be allowed to seize property, and if so, for what, and if not, why not? This is an issue where you're right. I think it goes back to, was it even allowed to be sold in the first place? Really, I mean, a riverway, and you know, there's, as Ed said, there's two separate issues here. Should you be allowed to float? I mean, I think that should be that, the idea that you shouldn't even be allowed to float on top of the riverbed, on the water on top of the riverbed, that is absolutely absurd. The question about whether you should be allowed, the public should be allowed to touch the riverbed, you know, fly fishermen, right, walking on the riverbed, whether you can actually own the riverbed, I mean, that's a little bit more complicated question. I still think that is fundamentally public. The waterway itself, and you've given a great example, it's like a road. And unless we're prepared to allow the Texas landowner, for instance, in this story, to come here and buy two sides of I-25 and then put up a toll gate, I think you're exactly right. That's exactly the right way to think about it. Hey, thanks for the call, man.
Hey, thanks.
All right, let's go to George in Boulder. George, you're on AM760.
Good morning.
Morning.
This issue has come up before, actually. Back in 1970s, there was a legal case where a dentist, I believe, from Denver was, and this is not a company, this is an individual, went down with his family in a raft down the Colorado River between Kremling and Hot Sulphur Springs. And he was his right to do so was challenged by a landowner named Richard, who owned land on both sides of the river. The dentists were charged with trespassing.
Mm-hmm.
The case went to court, was appealed, eventually ended up in the Colorado Supreme Court, which decided for the landowner. This was in the 70s.
Yeah, and as I read in the Denver Post, the Denver Post makes clear that under state law right now, that these issues are not being decided criminally. They're being decided civilly.
There was no civil charge against.
There was no criminal charge.
Yeah.
Right. There was a civil charge that a landowner could sue somebody in court for trespassing, and that's what the legislature is dealing with. And my point here is that I'm glad the legislature is trying to clarify this law, but my specific problem with the bill moving in the legislature right now is why would you only stipulate that a commercial rafting company?
That's a pretty fair thing to address. The interesting thing in the...
And by the way, George, can I just say, and I'll let you go, I'll let you continue, but let me just answer my own question, right? The answer is that you and me, as individuals, don't have lobbyists up at the legislature. And I'm guessing the commercial rafting industry, and I got nothing against them, right? But my guess is that they got people up there lobbying this issue because they've got some wealth there. And I just would ask legislators who are making this, and I'll ask some legislators if I can, when we get them on the show, you know, why should a commercial industry be given rights that individuals aren't? I mean, it goes back to the whole debate about, you know, are corporations really people? Or in this case, are they going to actually be like super people, right? Yeah. They get rights that you and I don't have.
Yeah. The interesting thing here is that the case was argued for the landowner by a right-wing Colorado organization. I believe it's called the Mountain States Legal Foundation.
Right, the Gail Norton organization.
And the guy who was arguing was none other than James Watt, who became probably the worst Interior Secretary we've ever had.
The most anti-environmental, anti-public, pro sort of greed is good Interior Secretary at least in contemporary history, if not in American history. It's a really interesting history. And George, thanks for filling us in on it.
Oh, but one thing I would like to add.
Go ahead.
Consider how ridiculous the situation is. The property, the landowner does not own the water that runs through the river. He doesn't own the air over the river because you can fly an airplane over it.
That's right.
He only owns, but does he own that infinitesimal 1 billionth of an inch thick layer constituting the surface of the river?
That's the fundamental question, and I agree with you. I think it's absolutely absurd. And I got to tell you something, George. And here's the thing that just drives me nuts, right? It just drives me nuts that you've got these greedy, huge landowners, really, really making an overtly greedy case, right? They're saying, you know, we want to use our wealth to prevent the public from enjoying in a basic minimal way something that should be public, right? I mean, we're talking about people who are rafting here, right? We're talking about people who want to go fly fishing, right? This is like minimally basic recreation, right? And the idea that these big out-of-state private landowners are saying, you know, no, we want to build our McMansions and prevent people from enjoying this, it's just really grotesque. It's really, really grotesque. And that's why, again, when I was up in Montana, people took the stream access law real seriously, right? It is a fundamental right of being a Montanan, being a member, being an American, that you have a right to those waterways up there. And that, I think, should be the right down here in Colorado. Hey, George, thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate it. Up next, we'll take a couple more of your calls on this issue. And also, a fight between immigrants and Walmart, making the New York Times, and it's happening right here in Colorado. We'll fill you in on that after a traffic update with John Turk.
Traffic, pretty non-existent for us. If you're heading out or just wrapping up this morning's commute, just some late jams on northbound I-25 out of Cass Rock due to an earlier accident around Surrey Ridge. Also might be a little heavy getting into Boulder westbound side of the turnpike once you get past Louisville. Still clean up this crash, Spear and Zuni, also at Alameda and High Street. Your forecast today, sunny, light winds, but a warming trend underway. A high near 42 today, right now 26 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Papa John's was excited to be in the house for Super Bowl 44, so they've cooked up toppings for touchdowns. For every touchdown the Saints scored, they're giving you a free topping on a $9 large cheese pizza. See PapaJohns.com for details. Papa John's, a proud sponsor of Super Bowl 44.
You switched your old synthetic oil for Castrol Edge. That's thinking with your dipstick. You like that Castrol Edge has 8 times better wear protection than Mobil 1. That's thinking with your dipstick. You enter a 15-round cage match against Smasher.
Bobby!
That's not thinking with your dipstick. Think with your dipstick. Upgrade to Castrol Edge. It's more than just oil. It's liquid engineering. Learn more at yourdipstick.com.
5W30s tested in industry standard sequence 4A wear test.
This is the sound of a car door slamming. This is my girlfriend speeding away. This is us 40 minutes earlier entering Sushi Kaiju for a romantic dinner. I found Sushi Kaiju by searching online. No mention was made of the rude service or the tainted Toro. Diana loved tuna.
Yahoo Search delivers restaurant reviews and ratings, maps and more, all on one page, right at the top. Just what you need, just one search.
Next time I'm using Yahoo Search.
Yahoo! I hate when I see people discriminated against, even if I don't agree with them. Demeaning people is just wrong. You'd think public universities that are supposed to be a marketplace of ideas would be the one place where that wouldn't happen. But it does, every day.
Christian students are bearing the brunt of this injustice. If you're a Christian and have experienced discrimination, intimidation, or exclusion on campus because of your beliefs, contact speakupmovement.org or text speakup to 411-247.
Hey guys, Valentine's Day is coming fast. ProFlowers is offering one dozen roses starting at just $19.99. That's $19.99 for one dozen roses with a 7-day freshness guarantee. Plus, get a free glass vase when you order today. Where else can you find Valentine's roses for just $19.99? To guarantee delivery by Valentine's Day, click on the ProFlowers ad showing now, or visit ProFlowers.com. Click on the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner and enter password HOT19. That's ProFlowers.com, radio microphone, password HOT19. Order now.
5:39 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I want to fill you in on this off the New York Times, the Dateline. Silverthorne, Colorado, a small group of West African men who came to the Rockies in search of economic opportunity, are embroiled in a dispute with Walmart, accusing it of a raft of discriminatory actions. Most say they were dismissed because supervisors wanted to give their jobs to local people in need of work. Walmart, which has a history of discrimination and labor complaints, but has increased efforts to promote diversity at its stores, denies the accusation. A spokesman said most of the men who had filed the complaints were part of a larger group of 90 employees of all different backgrounds, dismissed last year after management change at a store, at another neighboring store. These allegations don't accurately reflect the working environment at these stores, said Walmart. The complaint was filed with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. The 10 men said they had all worked for Walmart for a few years, mostly without incident, at a variety of jobs at 3 stores in the area. But things changed in 2008 and 2009. We will track this story as it develops. I'm sure it will develop. We're talking about stream access here in Colorado. A debate in the legislature over whether to grant the public more rights to its own rivers. Private landowners, out-of-state private landowners in this case, are trying to bring legal action against rafting companies whose tours float through private land. Private landowners arguing that if they own both sides of a river, they have a right to block access to that piece of the river. That floating through that private land is trespassing. The legislature now moving in, passing a law out of a committee, a bill out of a committee, that would explicitly say that commercial rafting companies would have the right to float through. Now, I think that's a good step, right? Because I think I when I lived up in Montana, there was the stream access law. It said that the public has a fundamental right to this kind of access. That actually in Montana it says that the riverbeds cannot be privately owned. That you can't block a citizen, anybody, a person, from floating through private property. Because the river itself is public property. Well, I got a problem with the bill in the legislature is, why are they only extending that right to commercial rafting companies? Why not to individuals? You want to talk about an example where corporations are being treated like people, or really like super people? This is a good example of it. But the real question is, should private landowners be able to own and block access to pieces of rivers in Colorado? And in the break, one of our listeners sent us a link to the National Rivers Association about Colorado, about this issue. I'm just reading off the website here a couple things. The U.S. Supreme Court has held that rivers have been public since ancient times in all civilized societies. In America, public fishing rights were codified in the 1600s. To this day, many states, as I mentioned, many state constitutions affirm public ownership of all running waters. And we're getting a lot of your instant messages here. Let me read a couple before we get back to the phones. Let's bring this one up. Leave it to a friggin' Texan to push the water issue. Wasn't it T. Boone Pickens who wanted a profit from draining the Ogallala Aquifer and shipping the water to Dallas? Very good point, right? Because this case right now, this particular case, deals with an out-of-state Texas landowner. Floating on private land. Seems a moot point if the landowner doesn't or can't own the actual water. How can he or she stop someone from floating on the water? Right, because there is a whole separate issue of water rights. Who has the right to take the water out of the river? These are separate from who has the right to float on it. Here's another one. David, I've been anticipating the argument for public accessing private land for several years as I've watched the Front Range population grow. The access to streams for fishing is only the tip of the iceberg. In England, they have what is called the right to ramble. This gives the citizenry the right to cross anyone's property via paths that have been established by historic use. Similar to California, where you can't privately own a beach. And by the way, Hawaii, as one listener emails in, that in Hawaii, all beaches are public, so that private landowners who live near a beach, they have to preserve access to that beach. They can't just put a fence in front of the in front of a path down to a beach. This is Frank on the West Slope. It seems rather absurd to argue that people have no rights to fish on streams that are stocked by the state for the purpose of fishing. Frank, that is a great point. I didn't even think about that. That is a fantastic point. You're right. Our taxpayer money are going to stock these rivers with fish. And these private landowners, some of them out of state, are saying that we, the taxpayers who fund that, shouldn't have a right to fish those fish. Unbelievable. That's a great point, Frank. You can always instant message am760.net. Click over to the David Sirota page. We'll go to the phones now. Let's go to Jay in Arvada. Jay, you're on AM760.
Hello there. Is this David?
Yes, sir.
David, what would stop two people on opposite sides of the river, say a rancher and a farmer, getting together and putting the land right next to the river into a joint ownership, and then they could stop all traffic or at least you could have an infinite number of points like that shared by two people who own land on both sides of the river.
Oh, yeah, but you don't even need it to be two people, right? I mean, one landowner can own both sides of the river.
But I mean, two guys, any river would have land owned on one side by one person and another.
That's right.
And so why couldn't they get together and form a consortium and shut the river down?
You know, Jay, that is a great point. I mean, I get where you're going.
They could share the land along the bed there in common. They could transfer that into a joint ownership.
You know what? You're making a great point, which is what you're saying is that if you allow this to move forward, theoretically, yeah, you could have a situation where most of a river,
the entire all rivers would have an infinite number of points just about that could be shut down like that.
That is a great point, and you know what? Unfortunately, in our me-first, screw-everybody-else culture that is developing nationally and in this state, you can see that happening.
Yes. You know, another thing about this recent decision by the Supreme Court, I'm surprised they didn't allow contributions to be given to Supreme Court members.
Yeah, I know. I know. I was, you know, somebody had mentioned that to me. I mean, that is exactly.
That would be just a little extension, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I know. Just, and now it's just one little step away. You're totally right, man. Hey, thanks for the call,
okay,
buddy.
Take care. Bye.
All right. Let's go to Joan in Westminster. Joan, you're on AM 760.
Hi, David. Hey, what if the course of the river gets changed? I mean, by flooding or by drought?
You know, that is another good point. I didn't even think about that. You're exactly right, because then if the course of the river changes, what if it changes over a property line? Who owns it then? No, that's exactly right, that when you don't have the principle enshrined that we, the public, owns the river, you get, there are all sorts of issues beneath this. And it's just, you know, I keep going back to the issue of principle here, right? We allow private land ownership in this country. And wherever you come down, that's basically an accepted practice in this country. And in fairness, if you want to be academic about it, you could say to me, hey, Sirota, can't you make the same argument you're making about the streams about private land? Can't you say, hey, whose right was it to sell off a mountain or a hill or this piece of land out here? You can make that argument, but that's pretty well established. My argument back on that would be, look, rivers and streams are way more rare and way more of a rare resource than land. And especially because, and I love the analogy of a riverway being a road, right? If a riverway, because by the way, rivers used to be a way that we actually traveled around the country, right? If a riverway is a road or a means of transportation, shouldn't it be, isn't it inherently public in the sense that no private person built it? I mean, it was just here when we showed up.
The other question would be, too, if the course of the river changes and you're allowed to walk stream beds, and you could contend that that used to be a stream bed.
That's exactly right. And that is, you know, that's why Montana, I think, has it exactly right. It's just not in dispute anymore. The stream bed, and in fairness, they had a constitutional convention. Right. Montana in the 70s had a big constitutional convention about a whole bunch of issues. And this was one of the issues that came up in there. And there is talk in this state about a constitutional convention. And, you know, because of Tabor and because of all sorts of other things, I would hope that if there is a constitutional convention, this issue comes up. Hey, Joan, thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Ron in Littleton. Ron, you're on AM 760.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
All right, man.
Hey, the thing is, that I've seen, you know, I've lived in Colorado most of my life, and I've seen this stuff happen again and again. I've seen the Texans who've taken over land in the San Luis Valley, prime land, and because it's private property, they wouldn't let the Hispanic residents who've been there since the mid-1700s graze their sheep on public land, because they had that right since the time of the Spanish land grant.
You know, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, it sickens me, but it doesn't surprise me. And look, this opens up a bigger discussion, and we don't have time to do it all today, but a bigger discussion about what has really happened to land ownership in this state and in this country. I mean, if Colorado is anything like Montana, and I know that it is, you have more and more out-of-state, very wealthy out-of-state landowners who are seeking to own more and more of our state, and by own, I mean prevent more and more regular, rank-and-file working people here in this state from having access to the natural beauties of our state, right? Well, when you have a society that is becoming more and more unequal, where you've got fewer and fewer people owning more and more of the wealth and money, you get these giant ranches owned by Texas fat cats or Wall Street fat cats, and what that really does is...
Or Ted Turner up in Montana.
Yeah exactly. These moguls who own these huge ranches. And what it really does is, what's going on with this stream access issue, it's just one little piece of how the inequalitizing, it's not even a word, but the how when our economy becomes so unequal, how that sort of becomes an issue in all sorts of different ways, right? This whole issue of landowners trying to, big out-of-state landowners trying to use their wealth to prevent us from using, from floating on our streams, this is just one little example of how when you have an economy that is this stratified, It affects regular people in regular ways in all sorts of different areas. Hey, Ron, thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate it. 9:51 here on AM 760. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Thanks, Dave. Traffic is really nice for us right now. Looks like all those accidents cleaned up. Normal jams coming into downtown, southbound I-25. From about 38th past Spear and northbounders. Still a little bit of a struggle coming out of Cass Rock from Happy Canyon up to Lincoln. Had an early crash there on Surrey Ridge. Still causing some heavier volumes than we're used to seeing this time of the morning. Also westbound I-70, sluggish from Ward Road to Highway 58 out on the west end and in Denver as you travel westbound from Quebec to Monaco. The forecast today, sunny, light winds, a high of 42 degrees. We should stay dry all the way through Sunday. Tomorrow, sunny with light winds and a high of 45. Right now, 29 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The Kohl's Kids Who Care Scholarship Program will recognize more than 2,000 real kids with scholarships and prizes. Nominate a stand-up kid at kohlskids.com by March 15.
10, 9, 8.
As this year gets underway, stop making resolutions that don't work and start losing weight. Join Weight Watchers for free right now. Weight Watchers breaks weight loss down into achievable steps so you can start off right, learn to lose weight, and keep it off. Call 1-800-START-NOW or visit WeightWatchers.com and join for free today. Weight Watchers. Stop dieting. Start living. Registration fee waived. Must pay meetings fees. Valid in participating areas only. Hurry, offer ends March 13th.
Hey, Tom Harmon here to tell you about Independent Power Systems. Independent Power Systems is an authorized distributor of Kyocera high-quality, high-performance solar electric systems and modules and a proud supporter of AM 760 Radio. Did you know that Xcel Energy has recently reduced the solar rewards rebate again? Join Independent Power Systems in booth 1275 at the Colorado Home and Garden Show February 13th to the 21st to find out how there's still time to save up to 60% on solar with rebates and incentives. Say hi to the Solar Backpacker on the show floor for a chance to win the solar backpack or a free home energy audit. So visit Independent Power Systems at the Colorado Home and Garden Show, booth 1275, to learn more. Be sure to drop by Independent Power Systems North Boulder Shop for Solar Community Night the second Thursday of every month. Call 303-443-0115, 303-443-0115, or visit solarips.com/KKZN to learn more. Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field Solar Experts.
Here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. FYI, Sean Page, the city councilman from Colorado Springs, has an editorial in today's Denver Post responding to my column. Again, he is reiterating this absurd. I mean, it's almost laughable, really. It's really almost laughable that this person is arguing that, and I'm going to read right from his piece. What infuriates liberals about Colorado Springs is that the city demonstrates that you can have a great city and economy without a big, without a great big government running things. Call it conservatism or just common sense, we don't reflexively look to government to do things citizens can do for themselves. We count on that can-do spirit and civic-mindedness to see us through. That sounds so nice, doesn't it?
Hey, David, if I can just update this, it looks like we are set for 9:05 tomorrow morning to have Mr. Page on.
Excellent. Okay, so good. So we're going to have it out with Sean Page, who is the city councilman who has criticized me for my my article. But I'm going to be curious to understand how he can square that claim that their economy demonstrates that you can have a great city without a great big government, when, in fact, one-third of the city, of everybody in the city, in Colorado Springs, according to the Colorado Springs Business Journal and the Colorado Springs Chamber of Commerce. I'll be curious to know how he can claim this while also knowing that according to those institutions, one-third, one in three people in Colorado Springs relies either directly or indirectly for its employment and subsistence on the military. That's right, on the government. It would be curious just to hear him explain that to all of us. Because if you do, if you say, if you accept those numbers, which I certainly do, seems to me that Colorado Springs is as close to a ward of the state as any city there. Any city in the United States. So we're going to debate that at 9:05 tomorrow. That's in the Denver Post today. Get back to the phones now about this stream access issue. Do you think the Colorado legislature should clarify in state law that we all have a right to float on rivers, even if those rivers go through private property? Out-of-state landowners are trying to block people from floating or fishing on rivers where the private landowner owns both sides of the river. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Dave in Empire. Dave, you're on AM760.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hey, it's Dave up in Empire.
Yes, sir.
I hope I have my terms right here, but I'm thinking that the waterways are part of the commons in this sense. We frequently, which means several times a year, have fuel trucks up here that tip over, dump airplane fuel into Clear Creek, and then they are given a token fine of something like $200,000, and you will see the highway people out there, and you see the Department of Wildlife out there, and what they do is some kind of a cleanup thing, and then restock the creek.
So what you're saying
all the way from here to Golden.
You're saying what you're saying is that we the taxpayers are subsidizing them.
That is the word I was looking for.
Yeah, we are subsidizing them, and then they are trying to say you can't come on the very thing that you are subsidizing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, how would they feel if we sent them the bill?
Yeah, that's a great point, man. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That is a great, and we never do that, and under state law we can't do that. And you're exactly right. That's a really key point. A really, really key point. You want to make one other point?
The point being that with these fuel trucks, it happens, unfortunately.
It just happened up on the Poudre River up near Fort Collins.
Yeah. And they end up giving them that company a token fine. It's almost like this has been worked out in advance.
Yeah, and then guess what? You and I have to pay for it. That's exactly right. You and I have to pay for it, and then and at the same time, we're not allowed on the piece of property that happened. You're exactly right. It's a great point. That's why I think we need a stream access law here. Dave, thanks for the call. All right, remember, tomorrow, me and Sean Page, the Colorado Springs City Council person, going to debate it out. Tomorrow at 9. See you then.
Open all the doors and let you...
Hey, guys. Valentine's Day is coming fast. ProFlowers is offering one dozen roses starting at just $19.99. That's $19.99 for one dozen roses with a 7-day freshness guarantee. Plus, get a free glass vase when you order today. Where else can you find Valentine's roses for just $19.99? To guarantee delivery by Valentine's Day, click on the ProFlowers ad showing now. Or visit ProFlowers.com. Click on the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner and enter password HOT19. That's ProFlowers.com. Radio microphone. Password HOT19. Order now.
I hate when I see people discriminated against, even if I don't agree with them. Demeaning people is just wrong. You'd think public universities that are supposed to be a marketplace of ideas would be the one place where that wouldn't happen. But it does, every day.
Christian students are bearing the brunt of this injustice. If you're a Christian and have experienced discrimination, intimidation, or exclusion on campus because of your beliefs, contact speakupmovement.org or text SPEAKUP to 411-247.
Solis Merritt.
Today on the Mario Solis Merritt Show, a new poll says 63% of the American people want the Congress to keep trying on health care reform. We'll take your calls. Y mucho más.
Today at 4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.